Yo, 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 what's up, what's happening, and welcome back to another episode of The Great Debate Show, the hottest podcast out right now, out on the airwaves. You've got yourself, you got me, Jarvis Jeffrey Sr., my man Terrence Smith, Nick Ely. How y'all guys doing today, man?
Hey, man, it's good to finally be in studio, get us all in here at the same time.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
because right. I'm tired of these phones. Right. I've got my phone out the way, I don't even see it.
Right.
Tired of phones. Forget these phones.
I gotta keep.
Nah, you gotta keep. I gotta keep. Oh man, you guys doing good though?
Yeah, man.
We good. So finally, we got all the guys back in here again, and we ready to get started. And we're gonna chop it up first by talking about, man, this it's not breaking news anymore, but there's still a lot of more developments that could go on
right. That
have happened since I believe Tuesday or whatever when this all broke. Brian Flores, head coach. Or former head coach of the Miami Dolphins. First, let me say that Brian Flores started off, I believe he got out to a 1-7 start in the NFL, and then all of a sudden, they went like 8-1 to finish the season. Missed the playoffs, but still, that was a hell of an accomplishment for them to come back and do that. But there's so many allegations out here by Brian Flores alleging that the general manager, I mean the owner, even had offered $100,000 per loss.
There's a lot of allegations
there. Yeah, just so many things to talk about with this situation. But guys, I'm gonna let you go ahead and start off and tell me what you all think about this. Who's right? Who's wrong? Who do you believe? And again, we're not saying that any of these accusations are are true.
Right.
We don't know. We don't know for sure. However, why would you make these type of allegations? why? If there's nothing to it. And he's got text messages.
He's got some fire. He's got some. He doesn't have smoke. He has fire.
That's right.
And yeah, man.
In order for this lawsuit to stick, he has to have some type of proof, and it looks like he does.
Right.
So, guys, I'm going to let you all go into it and what you know. What's up? Let me speak to some of the people on Facebook Live.
Hey, go ahead, man. Nick, I'll let you start off, man.
The Belichick thing was the funniest shit to me. That
is funny.
It's like the epitome of somebody just being old and not knowing how they're dealing with technology.
That's exactly what it was.
And it hit home for me because I sold cell phones for like 4 years. And so I've dealt with people who would make these kind of mistakes. And like the fact that like arguably the greatest football coach ever to walk the planet doesn't know how to use his cell phone well enough to text the correct Brian.
Right.
And that's going to be what really breaks this thing wide open. Because here's the thing, right? So like the Elway thing happens. But, I mean, how do you really have proof of that?
You don't.
The Stephen Ross thing happens. Again, it's allegedly all these things happen. Yeah. But how do you, I'm sure he didn't put it in writing. They're going to pay you $100,000 a game. That's a sidebar conversation. Hey, man, look.
Yeah.
That's what you can get if you don't, lose these games.
Yeah.
Right? And then but the thing that breaks it is when Belichick sends those texts.
Hmm.
And he says that you're their guy. Because, whatever the Giants want to say.
Belichick
has no affiliation with the Giants organization. He doesn't represent us, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that may be true. But Belichick is about as connected a coach as you're going to get in the league.
Absolutely.
Right.
So to believe that he would be trying to send this message in his mind to Brian Daboll without some knowledge of what he was talking about, and then the Giants actually turned around and hired Daboll
right.
a couple of days later.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, that is absolutely the smoking gun. And that may have been the moment where Brian Flores, looking at his phone, was like, you know what, I'm fed up.
I feel like it was.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely it was. But I also have to keep in mind to mention the paying your coach to tank, to me, like Belichick, that may have been the smoking gun, but the most incriminating thing for the NFL is them paying him to tank. And listen, he ain't making this up. There's no way he's making this up.
Right.
And I know that, this is not a Juicy Smollett situation where he just made up a bunch of racist claims. But Brian Flores, what happened, I'm not saying that, 100% sure, that 100% true that that's what it was. But I just don't think he's making it up because that's hard to make up.
Right.
And if that is the case, And I guess it's going to be a question for you guys. What does the NFL do about the Dolphins owner if that is proven to be true and apparently there's a witness?
Hmm. Oh, he got to go. They finna Donald Sterling his ass.
Yeah, what I was just about. That's the name I was about to use right there.
He got to go. Because especially now with like we talk about every time on the show, with as big as sports betting is at this point.
Right.
He yes, got
sir.
To go.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
They finna Tim Donahue his ass.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to roll. Like, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Because now, and then on top of that, now with Hugh Jackson basically saying, you know, things kind of along the same lines, mm-hmm. if that's the case there, then they got to make some changes over there as well.
Yeah.
Like, and then even crazier thing, like here's the mind fuck, right? So you go to this black coach, and particularly Brian Flores, the way he had to come up, you go to him and say, hey, I pay you $100,000 per game to lose. Well, now when he goes 2-15, now you got grounds to fire him because he's a bad coach.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you paid him an extra $1.5 million.
Yeah.
But now he can't get a job as a head coach because he's not good at it.
Yeah.
Assuming he goes along with the scheme.
And that's the problem. That makes you think that that's a part of the plan, to be honest with you.
So, yeah, you got an extra $1.5 million. But had you actually worked up to your potential and shown that you could coach,
right.
you could have been making $6, $7, $8, $9, $10 million a year
right.
for years to come.
Yeah. Right.
And so that's going to be the problem when he goes to – because – I was listening when they were talking about it on First Take the other day when the story broke about how he's suing for compensatory and punitive damages.
Yeah.
So compensatory-wise, if he turned out to be a decently good coach,
right.
he could make $8, $9, $10 million a year for 10, 12 years.
True.
I need all that. And then, you know, if he's suing for punitive damages as well,
yeah.
it's just simply for the fact that y'all stepped out of line and did some stuff y'all shouldn't have done.
Right.
He's talking about some serious money.
Now, let's get to the interesting part on where he actually has the part that sticks again. We were saying that the text message to Belichick,
mm-hmm.
all right, to Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick mistakenly is texting Brian Flores.
Right.
But he thought he was texting Brian, how you say it, Dable?
Dable.
Dable. Yeah. Dable.
And he thought that he was the one he was texting. He got the wrong Brian. He was already congratulating him for a job that
Brian
Flores was interviewing for days later.
And I didn't know that Brian Flores is from Brooklyn.
From Brooklyn.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. I found that out. Yeah. Just during his interview. Yeah.
That's why he wanted that job. It was a perfect job for him.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And so he really felt some type of way about this.
Yeah.
I guess.
Oh, that pissed him off.
We see what's going on.
That pissed him off.
Yeah. He's really Eric McGinney, who he's taking over now from that. I think we all kind of know what goes on and they know what goes on. But sometimes people can think to themselves, this is the last straw. This is it. And basically, it seems as if Brian Flores was pissed. He said, all right, enough of this. I already know that the job that I interviewed for had already been decided.
Right.
Here's the funnier part, right?
Where he has something right here.
Here's the even funnier thing. Think about the spot the NFL is in now,
mm-hmm.
in a post-John Gruden era. You're
right.
After what just happened with him, if all of these teams now got to start releasing emails, y'all think John Gruden was the only one saying a bunch of racist shit in the emails? That's why he's also suing the league.
Absolutely.
Because he's like, hey, y'all threw me out here.
Is he really suing the league?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a lawsuit.
Because John Gruden, like, y'all threw me out here like I was the only one talking crazy.
Okay.
In the email.
I didn't know he actually had
absolutely,
a lawsuit out.
You know what I'm saying?
And
it's like, bro, I was talking to you. I know what y'all said back to me. Where them emails at?
And
we're just talking about me.
Right.
Yeah, and I have a question that nobody else, I don't think anybody else has asked. Because the last thing we know about the Colin Kaepernick situation was there was no non-disclosure.
Yeah.
And Colin can't talk about it. The league can't talk about it.
No.
But does this reopen it in a way where, because do we know that the Dolphins weren't looking at Colin? Like, are there emails about this is going to resurface in some way?
Wasn't his name in that conversation back then about emails? Miami's owner?
Oh, absolutely. Ross? Yes, absolutely.
I think so. Oh,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It could.
Yeah, absolutely. It could open a new can of worms.
It definitely could.
And the NFL don't want to open that, so they're going to have to settle, and they're going to settle for a lot of money.
Yeah. Does anybody have any number, any idea on what Kaepernick's number was? Because I know
there was a lot of rumors. There was a lot of rumors.
I heard different numbers, though.
Yeah.
The money?
Yes. Does anybody have any idea what Kaepernick got?
Nothing that I've seen, uh-uh.
Yeah, no, nobody ever released it. There was a lot of reports. I think he probably settled for less because I think, to an extent, and this may have been to his fault,
mm-hmm.
I think he was naive thinking that he really had a shot at playing again.
Mm, yeah.
And there may have been some backroom discussion between him mm-hmm. and somebody was saying, hey, just settle, then there's always a chance that you're playing again. And right. you know, of course, we know the infamous workout and everything. The difference is that Brian Flores has acknowledged that he more than likely won't coach again. So he ain't coming in this looking to settle. He ain't coming looking to just make a couple dollars.
Right.
He's legitimately trying to expose him. And hopefully for the betterment of the league and for more diversity. So Kudos to him on that, man. And, you know, we'll have to see how it plays out. But the NFL better really get to thinking about how they're going to do this going forward. And okay, and here's a question. What do you do with the Rooney Rule? Because clearly the Rooney Rule is the really the real situation here.
Before we answer that much more serious question, let me ask you this.
Okay.
If you're blind Brian Flores, what number would you settle at?
Well, Ted DiBiase said every man has a price. So
that's why I'm asking. Like,
whatever's going to make it comfortable for me and my family going forward.
We can say that he wants to expose the league. Obviously, I don't know Brian Flores and the Method Man. I don't know.
Right.
He might be an extremely principled person in that way. But if we saying, okay, let's just use round numbers.
What number is fair? Well, there is no number.
Let's just use round numbers to make it easy, right? Let's say he gets 10 years of coaching at $10 million a year. He's a good enough coach where he gets that.
Okay.
That's $100 million.
Yeah.
If that's what you have on the table, and they're willing to give you that, do you take it or do you bargain for more? For the, especially if you feel like you know. If you feel like, A, you know you're telling the truth, and B, there is evidence that will open other cans of worms, as Terrence mentioned, that can make this a much bigger thing.
It just depends on how much of a sellout or how big of a sellout you are, if you want to be real. I mean, let's just be honest here. Look, I'm going to put it to you like this. I am not thinking about the money. If I do this, it's more for me. Hey, look here. The NFL ain't shit. And this is what y'all need to do. I expose them every chance I get on our podcast. Right.
And even better, I think there's a better way for me to ask
that. I would stop.
There's a better way for me to ask that question. Uh-huh. So if you pursue this all the way through the courts, you're gonna get $100 million out of it. 10 years of coaching, $10 million a year, you're gonna get $100 million because you know the evidence is there that's gonna show them for what they are.
Right.
Or they offer to settle with you for $250 million.
Again,
it's, hey, we don't want all this shit to come out.
Right, right.
$250 million.
But again, it's like if I were to punch you right now, and then I immediately say I'm sorry, man. I don't know what got over me. Are you gonna not whoop my ass to whoop my ass?
We got a jack.
We're about to go.
Some furniture gotta get moved.
You didn't even get time to get that apology out.
Yeah, so I mean, look, I still punched you. Either way it goes, right. So it is what it is. Look, I've already came out and I made this lawsuit. I can't fix that anymore. I can't change that, I mean. So taking it back, and it's like I'm taking everything back if I take the money and I settle. But the only way I do that is if so many, the case has been open for so many damn years.
Right.
Or for so long, and I'm coming up on hard times, and it's like, what, don't nobody care? I'm not getting the support anyway.
And that is a strategy. You know that is a law.
The hell with it. Give me the money now, then.
That's a lawyer strategy.
Nobody care, but it would have to be down the road. Right. I'm not just going to up at the first thing that you give me, because right now, this is not what it's about.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of times where
the NFL does have to do better.
Right.
The Rooney's are even emails coming out
and
saying,
and memos got to come out.
We're doing okay, but we could do better. Even the Rooney's are saying that.
What I think they should do is get rid of the Rooney Rule. And I say that because you cannot stop racism.
No.
Racists find a way around rules.
Right.
They make rules. They make them and break them if they have to.
Yeah.
I think you should get rid of the Rooney Rule and expose the racism, because then not only would they not have those mock interviews with black candidates for the sake of having them. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't interview black candidates at all, and they would expose them for who they are. So I think the Rooney Rule should go. Don't have any rules on who you have to hire.
Yeah.
And let them hang themselves.
How can we not agree with that, though? How can we not agree? Because, look, if I know you're not willing to hire me, Nick, you're Caucasian right now.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're not looking to hire me.
By the way, how does that feel?
I'm just the only one.
My credit just got better.
There you go.
Nice Dave Chappelle reference.
But look, I know you're not, I know you're only, you know what I'm saying, doing this because you're trying to meet the requirements. So I'm really just here wasting my time and yours. No, forget all of that, man. Let's save the weekend or the day that I'm going to be out here, the flight. Let's just save all of that time. It's unnecessary if you're not considering me really for the job. So, yeah, you're right. I agree with T. The rule has to go. The Rooney Rule has to go. But we do need to still see black men, minorities, or whatever you want to call us. You need to see the indigenous people get more chances, more interviews. And then we will see, hey, they did this on their own. They really wanted to hire Byron Leftwich.
Right.
Not because they were just following the protocol.
Right.
You know, so this is what we do need more of.
Yeah, inclusion is a real big thing, and I
need that before the money, though.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Inclusion is a real big thing, and it's like the league is what is it 80% black players?
70.
Mm-hmm. And you have one black coach.
Yeah.
And he just so happens to coach for an organization that doesn't fire coaches. Otherwise, he would have been fired like 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not to say he's done a bad job, but there was a point in time and there were people were calling for his job, and you know most franchises would just let you go after that.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh is the only one that's going to say you're going to coach until you retire, basically. And I appreciate, and that should be a motto for every team right there.
Are they doing that only because they're the one who put the Rooney Rule in place?
Well, no,
they feel like they're obligated to
they did it. They did it with Cowher.
They've had like four catches and four coaches in like 60 years.
Yeah.
But the Rooney Rule wasn't in.
No, I understand.
Like the Cowher's last few years, right?
It was like 03. I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying, like, in other words, this has been the way the Steelers operate regardless. Right. Yeah. They've had four coaches in, like, 60 years.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? So they're not looking
to,
you know.
Well, I'm saying he's fortunate to be coaching for that franchise. Otherwise, you know, without it, 15 years
or so. What would have been messed up is if they had fired him earlier on, because then it's like, well, damn, you gave everybody else, you know, a long leash, so to speak, to make mistakes and do whatever and grow your team and put it in your image and, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But this guy, he didn't get that same, you know, black guy doesn't get the same leash. Now, by the same token, Mike Thomas also never had a non-winning season. So, like, the numbers are hard to argue with. You know what I mean?
Right.
No doubt. And, again, I'll go back on that. I'll retract because I agree with what you're saying, Nick. And then I did hear this story where they said that, what's his name? He had been on the staff for a while. Russ Grimm.
Mm.
Is that what I'm trying to say? He was the guy who they thought was getting a job, like, it's in the bag. And then
Tomlin blew him away in the interview.
Yep. And it's like, guys, we're hiring Mike Tomlin.
Right.
And it shocked everybody. And it wasn't a big issue. It was just that, wow. So they were just trying to explain how things change, how things can change if somebody really does blow them away. And the fact that Brian Flores is doing what he's doing right now, even though he's still actually up for two jobs. He's a candidate for two different positions right now.
And so the thing about it is that the Steelers are also the franchise that are owned by the family for which the rule exists.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
That, like, and I don't even know much about Art Rooney from that standpoint, but what that says to me is that obviously he has been, to me it says that he has probably been a champion of some extent in getting black people hired.
Well, I'm sure Jarvis could tell you about the Rooneys.
And so.
I mean, I really can.
And so the fact that they would be the people that would have the mindset to allow themselves to be surprised, you know, by that somebody, you know, anybody came and showed up as well as Mike Tomlin obviously did, never mind that it'd be a black coach.
Right.
You know, I mean, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so then past that, it's like, well, why doesn't the rest of the league definitely should try to follow suit?
Absolutely.
And try to learn something from it, because the Steelers, if nothing else, like I said, the man's never had a non-winning season.
Right.
So there seems to be some value in sticking with guys and let them build their system and build their team, build a culture the way that they want to, the way that they envision it, so that everybody's on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Right. And listen, the bottom line in this whole thing is that Brian Flores shouldn't have been fired anyway.
Right.
He should, as a matter of fact, I don't know if you guys remember, but I was leaning towards picking him as coach of the year had they made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
If you start off 0-7 or was it 1? I think they won the first game of the season. Then they lost
1-7.
They were 1-7. Then they beat my Ravens down and they started a streak from that game. I wish they would have waited one more damn game.
Yeah.
But they beat my Ravens down and they started a streak and they were playing great. They were playing like a playoff team.
Yeah.
You
started to see that same team that we saw the end of 2020.
Yeah.
But we still have this one question: do they have a quarterback or the future already? We don't know that. And I think that is the reason, that's the only difference in what the Dolphins could really be.
Right.
And you fire him.
And see, I wonder if that's what it is. Because see, I also read a story that said that Flores was not a fan of Tua. He said.
Hell, I mean, are we? Supposedly, are any of us a big fan of Tua? You know?
Supposedly he told Tua they wish he would. I don't know if this was just some. The Onion type shit.
Right.
But he supposedly told Tua that he wished they would have drafted Mac Jones, or that he wanted to draft Mac Jones. Whether that's true or not, I don't know.
I don't think that he would say that.
Like, why not?
That's your quarterback. You got him now, you got to win with him.
Yeah, I guess.
No matter how you felt about
publicly?
Him.
Did they say he said that publicly or
no? He said it.
Probably, said it to him, to okay. him privately. Yeah. Okay. And it's like I got a lot of coworkers that I wouldn't want to work with, but I'm not gonna go tell them. Hey, I would much rather have that guy from that channel. Right. See how long I'll be at work.
Yeah, that's true. He got a point there.
I mean, you gotta work with him. But you gotta have a professional environment. So.
So. We got more to get into. So
I mean, could you not say from like a motivational standpoint?
Nah.
You should not be like, I'm just gonna be honest with you. I wanted the other guy. You need to
put as long as you have a he behind it. Man, I'd rather have Mac Jones than you. Like you gotta have a he behind it.
Yeah.
If there's person that I'd rather have Belichick coaching me.
It depends on how he's playing football. I would say for me.
Well, he was just
if
okay.
If I thought that he needed to hear that, I probably would give him that.
He was just okay. He wasn't great by any means.
Right.
But maybe with support, he could have been better.
Yeah. Well, we're going to wrap this up with the Brian Flores lawsuit, guys. But what do you all think in the end? How do you think this is going to play out? Is this bad for the NFL, or are they once again just going to do
it's
what they
bad
always
for the NFL, but the NFL wins in the end.
Their way out of
NFL always
wins. NFL wins in the end, man. Money. He says he's not going to settle, but... You know, we already know what DiBiase said. You know who Ted DiBiase is, don't you?
I've heard the name.
Oh, my goodness.
You from Mississippi, man. You better Google Ted DiBiase.
Everybody's got a price.
Every man has a price.
Yeah.
And, we'll see how that goes. And, well, you know, but, we'll see. But, again, though, look, if this is all real, then I respect, you know, Brian Flores and his courage that he has. I mean, like I said, again, two jobs that he's still up for as a candidate. And he still went on with this lawsuit. Regardless, knowing that he's
knowingly
those jobs.
He knowingly sacrifices his NFL career.
Yeah, he has.
Did the Texans hire somebody?
It's over with for him.
They haven't hired anybody yet. He's still up for that job.
And I gotta
the
go
Saints
with
the other one, right?
Before we wrap this up, I gotta agree with Adam Schefter, but I believe he's the one that said it. Wouldn't it be like the best thing in the world for Houston to make up for all the BS that's been going on with Watson and all the things that were said with the late McNair before he passed away about the prisoners, the players being the inmates and all that crap.
Oh, that.
And they just had they just fired David.
If you were to hire Brian Flores, though, in the midst of this, that would definitely get them earn them some cool points back. I'm not saying it makes up for everything, but hey, if you want to say that the NFL, because this is all the NFL said, this is without merit, and that's all you got.
That's just lawyer talk. That's lawyer jargon.
Just lawyer talk. Yeah. Hey, this is how you prove right now that the NFL is not like this.
That was a stupid thing to say. For them in the first place.
Right.
Because they can say it's without merit, but the numbers clearly say otherwise. I think I saw the stat. It's been like 129 job openings since the Rooney Rule was instituted, and they hired 15 black coaches.
That's crazy.
There's your merit.
You see there?
It's happening.
Ridiculous.
So, like...
That's ridiculous.
That was kind of a stupid thing to say.
Yeah. I mean, you know, without anything else behind it, though, like, where's your proof that this isn't happening?
Right.
That this is really without merit, and where's your proof? Come on, man. The proof shows to us that there's not enough of us getting these jobs.
Absolutely.
And they didn't even like. And they keep in mind they put this statement out like an hour and a half, 2 hours after the lawsuit became public.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, how did y'all take the time to actually read through this and see what his claims were to decide it was without merit?
Right.
And put a statement out that fast? Well, did y'all have five people reading different sections and they just had a quick
conversation? But see, here's the thing: if they say nothing. That's even worse, because even John Elway had to be like, "Oh, they could have
said something entirely different. They could have said, "We're gonna review
that."
This
but see, that admits guilt. They have to prove their innocence until they can't. They said the only thing they could say, unfortunately.
They just said we're gonna review the lawsuit and we'll get back to y'all, but in lawyer jargon.
But then
some people have not been able to just be quiet about this. John Elway and the Broncos still had to come out and say.
And the Giants were real petty. The Giants were real petty. They were real petty.
Speaking of petty, I know. We've been trying to change subjects.
Is that a segue? What you got for the segue?
Speaking of petty, the Brady retirement post.
Where Brady is petty,
and then the Belichick response. That is some of the most passive aggressive shit I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, that's them though.
That is unbelievable.
That's their relationship.
All right, let's tap into that then. We'll start with we'll get started with this.
And like as a person that knows,
he did not mention him, right? He did not mention the Patriots.
Tom Brady
not
did
at
not
all.
Mention the Patriots or Bill Belichick his entire retirement post.
But didn't he say thanks to all my coaches and teammates? And,
he didn't mention them by name.
Not by name, no.
You know
but
what
I
saying?
Just wanted to ask if he said that.
And then Belichick comes back and he's like, I'm glad to have had the privilege of drafting and coaching and whatever else. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, I made you basically.
Basically.
For the last 20 years. But I was like, bro, this is, that's some high level petty. That's
20 seasons in with the Patriots and not one mention. What's y'all take on that?
I think that there was a real rift between those two at some point.
It's got how long though?
It's got to be real.
It must have been most of their career. Most of their careers.
I don't think that they were ever really like close. And I just feel like Belichick is one of those guys that you really can't be close to. Like he seems to be really cold shouldered.
Well, he has that college football type mentality.
Absolutely, him is saving.
4 years, I'm probably not going to be with you any longer. I'm not getting close to any of these people.
I mean, I've seen.
I'm gonna have to cut you. I'm probably gonna have to trade you a year early.
Yeah,
you know I'll do it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So he's not gonna be. He keeps everything close to the vest.
I've seen him trade Lawyer Malloy a week before the season.
There you go.
He's cut.
I remember that.
All those guys a time or two.
Yeah.
So I really just think that Belichick is the legitimate like. Ultimate business person as much as he is a coach because yeah. Belichick runs that team too.
Yeah.
And maybe that just didn't suit well with Brady. I'm not really sure, but I do know.
He doesn't think he got the credit that he deserves. That's what I've heard in
See,
reports.
My thing is, I don't think it really pissed Brady off until it came to his door, until Belichick was trying to move on from him.
And he was.
And Brady was sitting up here like, no, I still got plenty left.
Good right. point there.
And Robert Kraft had his back. Until he obviously left a couple years ago. But,
yeah.
Until Brady knew he was ready.
But I think that's when it. I think Belichick might have always had kind of that. I think what it is, Belichick is kind of like y'all said. He's just that business minded. Okay, as long as you benefit, as long as you're relative to the team,
yeah.
You're here. As soon as I don't think you're gonna be anymore, I'm gonna get rid of you for as much as I can get for
and
you.
I can do it so much easier because I don't have any real connection with
right,
you. You know,
exactly.
I didn't try to make this a family
and
thing.
So,
which
and
I
so
have
Brady
no
was
with
fine with that.
That.
Yeah.
Brady was fine with that until it came to his door.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And Brady being a competitor he is was like, hey dog, no, I'm not done yet. I don't know what the hell you talking about, but I'm still
there. I'll show you.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And so then once he went over his head to Kraft,
yeah.
And Kraft said, yeah, no, we ain't getting rid of Brady yet, and then Brady goes and wins you another Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. All right, bro, you still got it. You know what I'm saying? But then,
and that's the damn reason why we don't have Jimmy Garoppolo. That's the reason why we ended up with Garoppolo.
Absolutely,
he was ready to move on from Brady and take his second round draft pick, Jimmy Garoppolo, as the starter of the New England Patriots.
And but Brady because, said, "I'm still that."
Because Brady said, "I'm still that dude," and he was right. They shipped him off.
You said thanks a lot. The man did take you to a Super Bowl.
Screwed us over again.
He might have lost it,
and we didn't win it.
He got there,
and we didn't win it.
Let me ask you this though, Jarvis, because this your guy's window was pretty damn wide open at this point. I think it was just opening. Mm-hmm. If that trade is made and you guys get Brady, how many rings do you guys get?
Two. Yeah, last year and this year.
In San Francisco.
Yeah,
I can see that. I mean,
absolutely.
I don't think any Niners fan would disagree with that. If they do.
Jarvis, I don't think any non-Niner fan would disagree with that.
But there's a lot of Niner fans that got these man crushes on Garoppolo.
It's kind of hard to think that y'all would. I mean, because essentially
they'll get in right now and then start cussing me out. Like, hey, don't say that about Jimmy.
It's their quarterback.
I don't know what they're watching.
It's their quarterback. I need some shades.
So it'll be basically nothing but like a traditional Patriots team. You got a gangster ass tight end. You got good enough receivers on the outside, and you got a gangster ass defense.
And you got Shanahan calling the plays.
And you got a great play call.
I think he'll call plays a lot different with Brady at the under the
course. You can trust him to do anything.
Because it'll kind of take you back to when he was in Atlanta.
Well, all I know is.
Did he just call screens and slants for Matt Ryan in Atlanta?
You can trust Brady to do anything.
So why
so
does everybody
fine.
Keep saying, oh, Shanahan, you're not, you just seem, no, it's his quarterback. He's very limited.
Yeah.
That has some things.
What I do know is that throw that Garoppolo missed to Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah.
Brady makes that throw.
Brady does make
he
that
makes
throw.
That throw.
But again, a lot of people have, and I keep an open mind. They have explained to me on how I can't just blame that one play. Because there are some things that the defense did give up 10 points.
It's Kansas City.
Yeah.
It's Kansas City. That's all they gave up?
Yeah, that's true.
Take that and run with it.
That's true. That's true, but I mean, this is the reason why I say what I say when I expose the game. Sherman was one-on-one all night with Sammy Watkins. He could have been. They could have been took those opportunities. But they keep you in for TV ratings. When it was time, it was time. When he went deep. And he hit
but you guys,
he hit him with ease.
I mean,
but he had that all night long.
If I remember that game correctly.
He was being told not to look that way. Russell Wilson does it all the time. He and Aaron Rodgers are some of the worst actors in the game. But go ahead, T.
Yeah, I was about to say, if I remember that game correctly now, you guys did play a lot of three deep shell as opposed to just just man. And I think that particular play, he caught you guys in a either a cover one or a cover zero. Mm-hmm. Now there was no safety over the top on this side of the field.
Oh yeah. Well.
And listen, with Kansas City, you gotta have a safety over Tyreek Hill.
It's still cover three. It's still cover three for the most part. But the corner messed up.
Yeah, he been on a double. He been on a double move.
Yeah.
I remember that play.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But in the end, it's like.
And honestly, they're fortunate that Sammy didn't walk into the house.
Yeah.
Which may have been a benefit to him, but I mean, Sammy could have very well taken him to the house.
Yeah.
But you know, he got held up just enough. Tackled.
Just saying, I'm not saying that it wasn't things that Jimmy, you know, could have done more of. We all can agree on that.
Right.
But at the same time, the defense did give up a 10-point lead. You know, so. In the end, you could see the game and just tell it was going to go different. And I don't know how we got on that particular game.
Right. No, I was just talking about that one throw.
Okay, yeah. But that one throw, hey, man, we know what Brady can
do. Brady's going to make that throw.
But I just have a hard time getting most Niner fans to agree with that. That's my only thing.
Yeah, no, Brady in San Francisco would have been
a nightmare.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Brady in Tampa Bay wins another Super Bowl if, you know, people are still on the roster.
Well,
you
know, there you go. I was about to say, too.
Niners, yes. We're healthy. We're in there.
Looking at how the relationship deteriorated between Brady and Belichick, whatever kind of relationship it was, that's what leads me to believe that there was some kind of an issue with Brady and Bruce Arians.
Okay, I'm not the only one to think.
Towards the end there, especially with the whole Antonio Brown thing, because if it's one thing we've known about Antonio Brown, Brady has had his back throughout. He let the man live in his house. Yes. I have other speculations that I won't even talk about on these airways. Remind me of it when we get off.
Okay.
But anyway, I'm not saying a word, but I believe that Brady and Bruce Arians may have had some kind of a rift, because apparently people in the Bucs organization they were pretty sure that Brady wasn't coming back. So I don't think we've seen the last of Brady. I really don't.
Well, if that's the case, then no, we probably haven't.
Because if you're telling me this man went from oh, I'm playing till I'm 45, I'm competitive, I'm you know, yada yada yada, to literally a second later,
now it's time to be with the family.
Right. Please get out of here.
Yeah, you don't buy it.
No, I don't buy that shit.
I mean, the Brady and Arians thing, I guess, like, I don't know. I feel like, to some extent, the riff with them was more, was kind of even still along the lines, kind of like a Belichick and Brady thing. Not that so much that people were trying to give the credit to Arians. It may have even been that Arians wanted more of the credit. I mean, in terms of trying to hold those personalities together and you know, kind of the super team sort of look that the Bucks had. Whether or not Brady's done, I think he's done. There was a rumor, that's what I was trying to get to. There was a rumor that supposedly Brady wanted Byron Leftwich to be the head coach. I think I might have talked about this on a previous episode. But Leftwich didn't want to be the guy to undercut Arians, so to speak, by using Brady as his leverage. So Brady was kind of, may have been kind of doing it for him by leveraging the potential that he would retire.
Right. I see what you're saying.
In other words, saying, hey, if y'all get rid of Arians and make Leftwich the coach, I'll give y'all another year or two. But if not, I'm finna
go. Well, that sounds about right then. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Now, Jarvis, you might remember this.
Okay.
Do you remember, there was an episode of SmackDown, and if you don't remember this, please go watch it.
Okay.
But Mark Henry got in the ring, cried, talking about he's ready to go, he's ready to retire and go home with the family.
Yeah.
And John Cena comes out like, "Hey man, don't retire," and he put the beat down on Cena.
Yeah.
I mean, he literally cried real tears.
Yeah. Baby, I'm coming home.
I'm coming home.
And then he slammed him.
This is Brady's
still Mark Henry. Still get some gas left in the tank. Do I remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that. Was classic.
Right.
That was classic.
This is Brady's Mark Henry moment.
Did he have the pink blazer?
He did.
Yeah,
he had a full pink
suit
on. And for a second I did. And then I was like, oh no, this is a work.
Right.
This is Brady's work. This is Brady's Mark Henry moment right here.
I'm with you, y'all.
Be a fool to buy it. I don't believe it.
Tom Brady is not really retired.
No.
I don't believe it.
Nah.
I don't see it either. He will be 8-3 because according to Gematria, he was born on 8-3 and he will be 8-3 in Super Bowls. In order for that to happen, he has to come back and play in another Super Bowl and he will win it. If he does come back and go to the Super Bowl, don't forget that gem I just dropped for y'all.
Yeah, and pay attention to how the quarterbacks move.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of teams that really.
Oh, and him and Nick Saban moved together. I've said this before, too, on Real Spit, on the Great Debate Show here. They move together. Everything that they do it together. Yeah,
my biggest.
When Saban loses, Brady loses.
My biggest fear.
Are you suggesting that Brady would come back and play for another team?
Yes, I'm definitely. Yes. After what you all are saying about the rift between him and Bruce Arians, yes.
How does he get there? Because the Bucs still got his rights.
They can trade his rights.
They can trade his
they
rights.
They can trade him, but
okay,
I mean,
so I was asking this question a few weeks ago. Did Brady or did Brady not do an extra year on his contract? So did he do it? He added a third year after they won last year, right?
Right, right.
To make it two more years in the contract.
Right.
I figured that. That's why I didn't think he was retiring. Now he's done it. There's a rift. It's some Brett Favre drama that's going to go on. July, August.
The Packers had to do the same thing without with Favre.
And they'll just say, screw it, we'll send you. They may ship him back to the AFC just to be petty, but I don't think they would.
Well, my biggest fear, my biggest fear is.
Brady had Favre the whole entire, his career.
Well, I mean, if Brady's retired and then he's saying, you know, I'll come back, but only if y'all trade me to such and such, right? So he kind of has hold some leverage. In that situation,
he probably would. But if they can get Jimmy Garoppolo out of this and a draft pick,
right?
Would that not be fair? Brady is 45 years old; he'll be 45 by that time, and you're shipping him back to his hometown. Hey, go ahead, do what you do. We done. We
would that
be
enough to make the Bucs?
At least we got Garoppolo and a draft pick.
If he stays retired and never comes back, you get nothing for him.
Come again,
but if he stays retired and never comes back, you get nothing for him.
No.
But if he says, "Hey, I'm coming back. You guys can trade me to Tennessee right now. You know, talk to Tennessee, work the trade out, and they
if they pick Tennessee, how would that go?
You get Tannehill and a third round draft pick. You get Tannehill and a third round draft pick. Sure, you take that.
What else you got? Or Tennessee.
What else you got? My biggest fear, by the way.
Yeah,
that's my biggest fear. I just.
But they could get Brady or Rodgers.
Supposedly they said they won't go after Rodgers. I don't know. I didn't substantiate it to see if it came.
I don't believe that.
Legit, but I saw something that said that the Titans won't go after, won't try to look to move on from.
It ain't but about five teams that better not go after Rodgers. All the rest of them better be in the sweepstakes.
Well, there's a rumor right now that Rodgers has a property he just purchased in Tennessee. And
rumors are rumors, man. I saw that one too.
But we also heard that Brady was looking at schools in Nashville.
He was.
And he went to the Buccaneers.
So, who knows?
I think he was.
Okay, well, so there you go. The Titans. So, Terrence, you fear the Titans getting either one of these.
Either one of them. Oh, Aaron Rodgers would be even worse.
Right,
Aaron Rodgers being worse. I mean, both of those guys were, regardless of who wins the MVP, 1 and 2 in the MVP race this year.
But if you put Brady in Tennessee.
Oh, my goodness.
You should have won a non-quarterback y'all wanted to put in that? I'm being petty. Anyways.
No. I mean, I would put a Cooper Kupp there. You win a triple crown of receiver, you should be in there. But,
who's going to win the MVP? Who has
Aaron Rodgers. It's done.
He's got it?
I think the award show is tonight, matter of fact.
The award show is tonight?
No, that will be next weekend.
I thought they had it the week before the Super Bowl, or is the night before the Super Bowl?
I thought it was the night before.
You may be right.
It's the night before the Super Bowl. I mean,
it's next Saturday. Then.
Right. Yeah. I didn't say he was my MVP now. I just said that they were 1 and 2 in the MVP race.
Aaron Rodgers gonna win. If y'all want to do that topic, he just got in here.
Uh-oh, let's hear it.
He just got in.
Come on, Mr. Trubisky fan. Bring that ass here.
William Jones, what's going on? What's going on, man? You in here? If you want to go ahead and do it, man,
he had to send you had to send him an invite.
Well, I don't even think I got to do that. It has something. Damn it. It said, here we go. Add.
He should pop up.
See what it'll do. It never worked for me with that Android. Still says adding. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, this is the Great Debate Show. We are available wherever you get your podcast. Jarvis Jeffries Sr., Terrence Smith, Nick Ealy. We've been talking about the Brian Flores and the Miami Dolphins, former Miami Dolphins coaching that lawsuit. We've also been discussing this whole Tom Brady situation. Was it really a rift with him and Bruce Arians on why he left? And if that's the case, could we see him again? I think he finds a way to get out of that. I think he does. But then again, he did tweet something about Lamar Jackson. Or he posted something about Lamar Jackson, a picture of him saying, "You're next."
Antonio Brown.
Hey, Antonio Brown.
He wants to be a Raven.
Antonio Brown sent that?
He wants to be a Raven. He posted a picture of of himself in a Ravens uniform.
No. This was about Lamar Jackson only, and Brady was like passing the torch, saying, "You're next."
Okay.
Did you not see that?
Oh, that's interesting.
That is very. No, yeah. I didn't see that. No.
Yeah. So I thought I'd bring that up.
As a matter of fact, I didn't see that, but I think I saw a meme in response to it because they were saying he's next to deal with Antonio Brown.
Right.
Right.
That's what kind of tells me he still could be, you know, he really could be retired. But, well, I don't know what's going on here. It ain't let me get him in, man. But I thought I added him.
I sure wanted to hear this.
But we could have him call, though. We could do that as well. William, if you want here, man, just chat. Well, I see you watching, man. Just chat if you want to get in. And let me know what's up. Thank you to some of the people that's chatting with us, saying that we're having a great discussion about Belichick. We appreciate it. It was. And had very deep, though, in the end, because, like, if Belichick really did, well, we know he did, he sent those texts. He has one thing if he has nothing else. And that is, guys, they're just using us for this Rooney Rule crap.
Yeah.
We know this for a fact now. They've already hired the Dabble guy, and they ain't even talked to me yet.
And there are theories out there that Belichick,
if he blew them away, that they really would have hired him still? Probably not. They already congratulating this guy.
There are theories out there that Belichick knew exactly what he was doing.
I did see that, and that's funny.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't.
Really?
Yeah. There's theories out there that Belichick knew exactly what he was doing, and you know, it gives him a way to alert Brian Flores, but also gives him a way to, you know, kind of plead the fifth if it comes down to. You know, oh, I'm sorry, I messed this up. Oops, my bad.
Right.
You know, and the fact that they have the same first name is kind of a benefit.
Convenient.
It's very convenient. Absolutely. Yeah.
Got a point there.
So we'll have to wait and see how all that develops.
Uh-huh.
While we wait on Mr. Whedon to come in, your boy Harbaugh decided to go back to Michigan. Did he just not get the job he wanted?
That's right. That's what it was, it sounds like. I'll let y'all speak on it, but from what I heard, they were already – I guess they got blown away by the guy that they're going to hire, the offensive coordinator.
I'm not sure what happened because I saw something that said that Harbaugh was essentially headed to Minnesota to sign a contract.
Hmm. He didn't get offered a contract though before.
Right, and then he got there and didn't get offered one. So,
yeah.
Did Harbaugh blow the interview? It's hard to believe.
That's not hard to believe at all.
Did he show up drunk like Elway?
I mean, it's just that this Harbaugh can be a very, very difficult person. He can be very. Well,
okay,
you know,
so I guess from that standpoint, when I said blow the interview, I meant from the standpoint of like if he showed up and like didn't seem to have the football acumen or view of the team that made sense. But I mean, from the standpoint of him just being hard to deal with, then yeah, I could see that.
He might have just went in there a little over arrogant, thinking that I'm coming from Michigan after 7 years.
Every time you say hard to deal with, I think of Harbaugh shaking. What was the guy's name from Detroit?
Shaking Schwartz's
hand and pissing him off completely.
Yeah.
And Schwartz hunted that man down.
they say he walked into a room, Jed York and Trent Baalke. This is the owner, this is the CEO, Jed York, and the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
Harbaugh's already seated in the office, and they come in and they say, oh, damn. Guys, I thought you all said we were going to only have men in this meeting. Really, like men. Like he didn't even call them or respect them as men. And that's when the general manager looked at Jed York and Trent Baalke said, one of us got to go. And they chose, you know, Jed York went with the general manager, mm-hmm. Trent Baalke, at least for a few years after that because Harbaugh was gone after the 2014
season. Right.
You know, and that was the first season that we didn't finish over 500.
Mm-hmm.
It was like an 8-8 season. Before they even got in the showers, they immediately said that the Niners and Harbaugh have mutually agreed to part ways.
But Jay that Glazer, was always funny to me.
Yeah, but Jay Glazer had been saying since week one, even if the Niners win the Super Bowl,
he is not coming back. I remember when he said that.
Yeah.
That was always funny to
that
me.
Was not
it's rare that somebody ever decides to move a step away from a $10 million a year job. So,
yeah.
You know, mutually agreed to part ways. No,
somebody
didn't fire
got,
your
you're
ass.
Right. Somebody got fired.
There, man. He said, I heard the same about Jim Harbaugh. Yeah. We trying to get you in here if you want to have that Trubisky talk, man.
Yeah, get on in here.
Send me a request or whatever you call it so I can invite so I can let you in. If not, if that doesn't work, then I'm going to give you a number you can call and we can get you in here.
Yeah.
All right, but right now I think we need to go to – well, go ahead and finish this.
No, I was just about to say I had a little inside information on that 49ers organization on the Harbaugh and it was not good.
No.
It was not good at all.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much everybody, and I think that's the real reason why you saw a lot of guys retire early, I know they.
Oh, Joe Staley said it was many days that he wanted to kick his ass.
Yeah. I know P. Willis retired early.
He did get the best out of all those guys.
He did, absolutely.
You know, he got the most out of those players.
And shout out to Singletary for drafting that team.
Singletary right. did do that.
Singletary put that team together, man.
Mike Nolan had something to do with it as well.
Absolutely.
Him and the general manager, Scott McClellan, at that time. They played a major part, too. Yeah. Nobody remembers those names, but I do because they did put that team
together. I remember Mike Nolan. He came out there coaching in suits.
Yeah, he did.
Sweating his ass off.
Trying to be the new Dan Reed.
Right, yeah. Sweating his ass off in a suit.
Right. And so, again, what did they do, though? The black coach got the job, took the L's. Next thing you know.
Built the team.
The team is kind of built, but the white guy comes in, Harbaugh, and bam. Just like that, we're 11-5. We're 12-4, 13-3 immediately.
Yeah.
Like, just like that. Championship appearance after championship appearance.
And the year before that was when they – is that the year they –
And he really had no good X's and O's. Like, he was not really that good. What Brandon Jacobs said about him, it wasn't
– About who?
But he coaches hard. Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there. What's his philosophy, truly? There is no philosophy. There is no – yeah, he was a quarterback coach. He was a quarterback. He was an OC. And look at what he did at Stanford. It was Andrew Luck just really running a bunch of options and throwing slants and screens. It was – What was it? It was mediocre.
Andrew Luck is one of the best QB talents we've seen in the last.
He still didn't get the most out of him. In my opinion, in that off, he didn't get the most out of him. He's never been an X and O guy. The offense was not that good with Alex Smith or Colin Kaepernick. Let's be honest. What Harbaugh was almost right on though. It would have overlooked all of this. He saw this guy can run the college football crap that we were doing already in college, mm-hmm. and I could bring this to the NFL, and nobody knows how to stop it yet. He was ahead of his time with that. And you could tell, looking at that 2012 season when Kaepernick took over, and 2013 as well, and 2014, then it was like, oh, wait a minute. So we make this guy use his brain, and if he can show us that he can do it with his arm, we can beat this kid? Oh, okay, got it. It got to a point to where the Cardinals said they knew every pass he was going to throw before he threw it. Everything, you know, the pat that he does on his ball, the ball's about to come out. Mm-hmm. Just too many things that they started to notice.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't that guy when you took away the read option.
Right.
And but Harbaugh almost got a Super Bowl out of it.
Almost, one play away.
One play away.
I'm glad he didn't, but he's one play away. Hey, one play away. That's what you get for throwing the ball to a mediocre receiver.
That was that Ray Lewis crap. That was that Ray Lewis crap, man. Y'all knew that.
That's what you get for throwing the ball to a mediocre receiver. And then took our receiver the next year.
That was whole thing. Oh, my God.
Thought about a Crabtree, man.
But Crabtree was mediocre, though.
And he ran
the wrong. But he had somebody.
Was he really?
He was a little mediocre, yeah.
And he ran the wrong route.
Yeah. Look, think about it. His best shine was when we added Randy Moss in 2012 to stretch the field, and Vernon Davis was definitely going to take away the scene. Then Crabtree could do what he does. Underneath.
Yeah. Well, that was the same year because Moss was in
that
Super
Bowl. He'll eat his own up, but if you press him, it's
yeah.
over.
Yeah, Moss was in that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got overthrown.
I know my son probably cussing me downstairs right now. But he wasn't that good, in my opinion. He was mediocre.
He was mediocre. Yeah, he was mediocre.
And I don't think he lived up. And the reason why I'm saying this, it's not personal. He didn't live up to what he did.
He was round picking and held out. He was round the Cobb with
you
a chain.
You got to be Jerry Rice now, bro.
Yeah, he was round the Cobb with a gold necklace.
There you go. That's a good one.
I think that's a little disrespectful to Randall Cobb, personally.
There you go, though.
He's running a car with a gold necklace.
Oh, man. Talib tucked that, too.
He did.
But anyway, okay, so we've talked about Belichick, and we've talked about the whole Brian Flores thing. We think that Flores does have a case, but we know how the NFL always finds a way to get out of this. Look, our prime example on why the NFL is going to still move on from this and they'll be all right as a business, as an organization, because everybody's still going to watch the Super Bowl when they should be boycotting it. Everybody's still going to watch it.
Yeah.
Everybody still loves the game of football.
Including the people sitting in this room.
Now, a few people, I'm not going to say I'm not going to watch it, but, I mean, I'm not interested, and I don't care. The only reason why I would even kind of tune in for a minute is to pregame, who's going to really win this game. They're going to tell me something. There's a stat or something in the bottom of that screen that has to do with
I already got the stat for you.
And I'm going
to do it. I already got it for you.
You got it?
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Let's hear it.
All right.
Let's hear it.
We're saying this based on Joe Burrow being the new face of the league. Tom Brady just left. Now it's Joe's turn. Because you said Joe might have a Joe Montana right season, right? So that's what we're based on
career. Career.
Who did Tom Brady beat in his first Super Bowl?
The Rams.
There you go.
Yeah.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
So put your money on Cincinnati.
How many years ago was that?
It's been like 22.
Season, so it's
21. Yeah, 21, okay. 22. So yeah, okay, nah, put your money on Cincy.
Terrence, I can't argue with you at all there. I mean, and I may be wrong. I was wrong about the Niners. I mean, but I didn't never said the Niners were going to win the whole damn thing anyway. This came from the Cowboys getting beat, you know? I was steered the wrong way there. And I apologize if I steered anybody the wrong way, but nobody believed me any damn way. Nobody did. You all still.
I want my $5 back, Jarvis.
I was right about the Bengals. You see there? $5.
Where my $2.50?
That's how much faith he had in me. That's how much faith he had in me. And Nick probably didn't bet a damn thing.
Hell no, I was betting player props.
But look here, though. I got a prop for you, too, for T. Higgins. He's gonna get at least one touchdown. Keep that in mind. He's going to get at least one touchdown.
Why is T. Higgins getting a touchdown?
It'll be his 13th touchdown of the season. 13 equals L.A. and gematria.
It is.
It's in L.A. He will get that. Hey, and I was half right. The Bengals did win the game. I said the Bengals and Joe Burrow, something is going
here. So I won 250.
You won 250?
I want 250.
Okay.
I'm joking.
Okay. Look, this is what we need to do, really. Seriously. Everybody needs to put 250 together right now. That's about a 750 bet and see if you can turn that into a good 12. It's not much because it's only plus 155, but the Bengals are going to win. But because it's not plus 250 or 300 is how I know the Bengals are going to win. I know everyone thinks the Rams are going to do the same thing that the Buccaneers did last year. And they may do it.
Right.
They may do it. I got a few people that won't put this bet together with me because they don't think the Rams are losing. But I'll say this. Do you really think they're going to let Brady share that accomplishment with anybody else? Yes, the Super Bowl will be there in the hometown for the next few years, maybe, but I think that's just because of COVID. This is what gematria tells me. You know, like, they didn't want anybody to really have to worry about the traveling and all of that. With COVID, all of a sudden we're getting teams playing the Super Bowl in their home stadium now that the pandemic hit. You think that's a coincidence as well? So the Rams are there, but it doesn't mean that they're going to win. Joe Burrow, if he's going to have a career like Joe Montana, he can't lose a Super Bowl. I'm not saying he'll go 4-0.
Right.
I'm saying he probably is going to go 1-0. All right.
What about the fact that Odell Beckham
won? I was half right and half wrong.
What about the fact that Odell Beckham wore number 13 for most of his career until he just got traded to L.A.?
Hey, it's a lot of numbers for the Rams, too, now. Don't get me wrong.
Throwing it out there.
Hey, they're playing in the 2-1-3 on the date 2-1-3. Hey, I get it. It's a lot of stuff out there for the Rams. The Rams are doing everything the Buccaneers did. Antonio Brown is OBJ. I get it. What's his name? Jason Pierre-Paul, that's Von Miller.
Seriously, right. Though, looking at it from a football standpoint,
Stafford is Brady, I get it.
It's really hard to call.
I just don't see them sharing that. Like, it's Brady's right. Not the only guy. The very next year, somebody else did it too. They won
it's
a Super Bowl.
Really hard to call because it's like...
In their home stadium.
Looking at what Joe Burrow has gone through in the AFC to get here.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, how you going to bet against them?
They've stopped the Chiefs. In one half, the Chiefs could not do anything.
Couldn't do anything.
Mahomes was running around like, what? And he had some people open in the corner of the end zone. He looked it off and started spinning around. Just.
But then on the other side,
it was so
like,
bad. So bad.
It's but, like, do you know how good the Rams defense really is or how good they can be on any given Sunday?
They stopped the Chiefs from doing anything. You think they can't stop Matt Stafford from scoring?
What about stopping the Bengals?
They'll be all right. Joe Burrow is cool. He's going to stay cool to the end. They're telling you that right now on that Joe Montana documentary. He's going to stay cool to the end. He was down 21-3 again to Kansas City. Again. And he came back and won.
Kansas City ain't got Aaron Donald.
The Rams would have to get up 28-31 to nothing before I say, damn, they really did.
They ain't got Aaron Donald. They ain't got Von Miller. You know, they don't have that kind of firepower.
Hey, on paper, guys, hell, not even on paper. The Rams look like the best damn team in football.
I mean, they got Chris. They
I'm
got
not
Chris
saying
Jones,
that they're not. We should not have beaten them 6 straight times, but we did. Okay.
Yeah.
Let
me ask this about Cincinnati.
These games aren't all what you think it is.
Just from
but
a
I'm telling
you,
man,
from a football perspective,
Rams
let me
are not
let me
win the Super Bowl.
Let me ask this about Cincinnati.
There it is.
We got William coming in. Is the Cincinnati front line that we saw against the Chiefs? Versus the front line that we saw against the Titans, which one is the real front line? Because that's the real question. If we see the front line that came out and played against the Titans, that gave up 9 sacks, that game's over right now.
Yeah.
Because right. Aaron Donald might set the record for whatever the record for sacks are in the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
Aaron Donald might get it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can throw for all the yards you want to, But if Aaron Donald is chasing you around all the time and Von Miller's on the other side to clean up.
He's right. Heavy.
That's a problem. That's a real problem.
Yeah.
And we know that last year, like you said, the Bucks and the Rams are on the same kind of wavelength as far as what they were doing last year.
Everything. Well, you pointed that out a few episodes
ago. The story of the game in last year's Super Bowl was the fact that Mahomes had to literally run for his life almost every play.
Almost every play.
And I foresee that being the same thing this time. And in all truthfulness, all jokes aside, if they're just playing football now, I don't see how Joe Burrow is going to have a clean pocket at any point of the night.
Well, T. Higgins will have one-on-one coverage if they're going to double Ja'Marr Chase, right? And if they don't double Ja'Marr Chase, it's going to be a long day.
If Jalen Ramsey can't stop that, why am I paying him?
Well, no, I would think that you would put Jalen Ramsey on maybe T. Higgins.
No, you put Jalen Ramsey on the best receiver, and that's Ja'Marr Chase.
Or you can put the second best receiver plus the safety help on
There's different ways to do it. And maybe you'll switch that up.
That's what Vic Fangio used to do a lot with the Niners.
Right,
it
absolutely.
Used to look like it worked as far as what they put on display.
Yeah.
You know, like. I can't think of some of those games or teams, but the best receiver though, we would put Terrell Brown and give him safety help on him, and Carlos Rogers at that time being our best corner, we would put him on the B talent.
Yeah,
you know, one on one, though you got him, and it kind of works like that at times.
Yeah,
Rex Ryan did it first. He's the first person I remember doing it as a kid when Deion was actually on Alvin Harper to start the game, and Troy Aikman was like, "What the hell?" But Michael Irvin had Eric Davis and safety help.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the one on. He went to that. Angle and it didn't work out, and Eric Davis picked it off though. But he did that because he was able to jump the route because he had the safety help.
Yeah, Rex Ryan did a lot too in New York when he had Reeves and Cromartie.
Yeah,
why put Reeves on your best one? But I can put Cromartie on, especially if it's a speedy receiver. You put Cromartie on him, and then you let Reeves shut somebody else down.
Right. I think Randy Moss made him realize that was a good idea because
absolutely
he made Darrell Reeves burnt toast.
That's the only play though that anybody has on Reeves though. That's a bad play, but nobody else done anything.
Reeves might be the best pure corner of all time. We'll talk about that later.
We got to talk about that. Him and Prime, man.
We're not going to disrespect Prime like that.
I don't want to disrespect him. That's my guy. But I got to be
his,
real.
That's his guy.
I got to be real now. Other than that Randy Moss play, you ain't got nothing on Reeves.
Terrence just wanted to drop a hot take on there.
Man, it's hard to argue against, though. Reeves, when he was playing now.
It really was.
When he was healthy.
Look at the talent. From Ocho. Who I thought was
shut him down. T.O.
But the T.O. and Moss, and I mean, for the most part, Moss, except for that one play now.
Right.
He played him twice a year.
He made his career get shedding Moss down.
And not just those guys. It was Moss, it was T.O., it's Elcho. Those was in one season. It was another guy too, man.
Calvin Johnson.
He did this stuff in one season.
Yeah.
2009 was a great year for him, and it continued to go on. So I'm like, hey, man, look. I remember when him and Sherman got into it, and I'm like, hey, Sherm, now you know you're a cover three corner.
Sherm need to stand down on that one.
You got to stand down on that.
I love Sherm too, man. But
I got a lot of respect for him, but he can stand down on that
numbers,
one, man.
That, and this is why numbers don't tell everything to me, because he was using the numbers, and we know why those numbers are where they were.
Right.
You had Cam Chancellor, LOB. That front four was good the first few years. You know, it was really good.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I just had to throw it out there. I've thought about that for a while. I'm not saying he's better than Deion, but it's at least worth the discussion.
It is worth the discussion, man. Absolutely. Like Prime was my guy, man. Like I can show you jerseys now where it's like 21. That was me. That's my guy. But, man, I'm saying, like, damn. Besides Jerry Rice and Sterling Sharp, Herman Moore, Chris Carter.
What are they saying about Revis and Tampa?
Revis did some things. No, he said Rams did it to Tampa.
Rams did it to Tampa.
What were we talking about? What were we talking about? The Rams did it to Tampa. He's probably talking about the pressure and
what, talking about Aaron Donald?
The defense.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
He's talking about what you're saying that they could do to Joe Burrow. But, hey, man, I'll just tell you this.
And Tampa got the best offensive line in the league, so.
That was, yeah, but.
Good point.
No, but they had a lot of people out. That's not true. They had people out, and look.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow is that cool. That's a cool dude.
Yeah.
And I've been telling y'all this.
I'm a fan of Burrow as well,
He's
man.
He's going so to find a way.
It's hard for me. I mean, with everything I just said about the Rams, and Joe Burrow's a bad motherfucker.
He's going to find a way.
Him and Ja'Marr Chase. They
are.
It's different.
They are. It's the year of the Tiger, ladies and gentlemen. Remember I said that. It's the year of the Tiger. They want enough of me to know. Don't be no fool. They're going to win the whole damn thing.
Well, they put it on my Ravens twice, so.
Yeah.
I've been a believer for a minute.
There's a reason for that. It's the year of the Tiger. All right. Oh, and T. Higgins also was a Clemson Tiger in college. He's going to get that 13th touchdown. and he plays for the Tigers right now, a Bengal.
And his quarterback was a Tiger, and his other receiver was a Tiger.
Whole lot of damn Tigers running around here.
It's the year of the Tiger.
No Lions and Bears.
I could be wrong, ladies and gentlemen, but it's the year of the Tiger. Watch out for the Bengals to win. And I'm not just saying that because I don't want the Rams to win. That's really not what it is.
I think anybody that listens those.
Because I do think OBJ deserves a ring.
He does.
Oh my God. I would love to see him get one.
I would love to see him get one.
And even be the MVP of the game off of what everything has happened with him and Baker and the Cleveland situation. You know, people, it's really OBJ's fault. Is it, you know, for him to go to another team, immediately have the impact that he's had, and then go win Super Bowl MVP, I'd be happy to see that.
Well, either way, he's earned himself a huge payday.
Yeah.
And I know that they will throw a nice parade. You think Malcolm Butler's parade was something in Vicksburg, Batesville, Clinton, Mississippi area for Cam Akers. If he comes back with a ring, with a chip, it's going to be some love in Mississippi, man. It's going to be some love.
6 months for an Achilles.
Man, I used to go out to Clinton and watch that brother play before he was even before he committed to Florida State.
Yeah.
So I've been following this guy since high school, and there will be something special to see though that to know that he comes from my state. He played for my college team. And now he's about to be a champion. I know they're going to really, really give him his roses. They better anyway.
Right.
Down there out in Clinton, man. So, but look, hey, like I said, I like the Rams. They're like Showtime to me. They're the Lakers. They're explosive. They're that good. But I don't think that they're going to let somebody else do this. You know, like just like that, back to back. Brady did it. Oh, well, wait a minute. But so did Stafford. Nah, the way they treated Brady his entire career. It's just in my mind, I could be wrong. This is something that they don't let him share. That accomplishment is stable. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders are in the Super Bowl next year at home in Las Vegas. But they'll probably lose to whoever Brady's playing for if he comes back. I was told Gruden Bowl, but then he retired, so I may be wrong on that one. I'm going to be quiet about this early prediction crap. But that Milwaukee Bucks stuff, it still told me that Gematria really is real. We just can't get it all right. He just can't. It's just too many riddles. But we were just a little bit ahead of our time with the Bucks, and they really did do it the next year. And what happened with Saban and Belichick and Brady and Super Bowl 53 with the Rams and Patriots, that was just too mind-blowing, man. It was just too mind-blowing. It's got to be real. Either way it go, Gematria or not, these games are fixed. They're not even fixed. They're produced. It's a production. I should stop saying rig, because rigging is when you just fix something. Rigging is when we went to Jackson, Mississippi, and Holly High got screwed against Yazoo, and we were about to win our third straight chip. That's rigging. No. This is a production. It's already messed up.
So you think the coach took a payday on that one?
Man, I was already told that he was before I even left Jackson.
Word.
That's high school. I probably shouldn't be saying this on wax, but they done heard the stories.
Yeah,
everybody.
I'm sure you're not the only one that thought about it.
No, everybody's. I've heard the stories, man. We all know. Yeah, I mean, why do that? I mean, they said they're gonna hold a ball. Okay, cool. But when you get the ball, you go score. Why beat them at their own game? They said at halftime, man, we can't run with them guys. We ain't got a shot clock. We're gonna use it. We're gonna take advantage of that. But they played the same game, and then the last 2 minutes, everybody wants to play again. I heard too many different stories, man. Come on, man. That's rigging at its finest. That's a rig. And money definitely has something to do with that. We know about NBA officials who have done jail time over that famous Lakers-Kings Western Conference Finals in 2002. Well, we all know the Lakers, as good as they were, they couldn't mess with those Kings that year.
Chill out.
They couldn't do it.
Kings were rough, man. Chris Webber and Mike Bibby and those guys.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, look, we're going to post the rest of this episode, The Great Debate Show. It looks like my phone is about to die over here on this, but we're going to wrap this up. We're about done. We're going to get into the James Harden, though, and the Ben Simmons trade talk, Brooklyn and Philly. We're going to let these guys talk about that and see what's what. We still need to talk about who's going to win the game, I guess, real quick. We can wait till next week.
We'll do that next week.
We'll do that next week. All right. But that's all the time we got for here, because my phone says so. It's pretty dim over there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's about
the light ain't too bright.
Nah, it's not bright at all now. So we're about to get out of here. But look, when we put the link out, click on it, give us a listen, download, subscribe. Thank you. The Great Debate Show. The Great Debate Show still going on over here. And so we're done pretty much with that, but T, we got some more stuff to do.
Yep, yep.
After this, briefly, but let's get into the basketball if we're done with the football. Or is there any hirings, NFL hirings, that y'all want to talk about before we move on to
none of them are black yet, so.
Right, right, yeah.
There's more than Mary that we don't
have. I'm sorry that Byron Leftwich didn't take the Jacksonville job. Apparently, he didn't want to work for Trent Baalke.
Right.
So he didn't take the job.
That's interesting.
In Jacksonville. So
I thought it might have been just because he realized that they really suck.
Hold on. I thought Trent Baalke was already out. He's not out?
No, they're not going to replace him, if I'm not mistaken. Oh. So Doug Peterson is taking the Jacksonville job now. So I think they would have been perfect for Byron Leftwich, and I think that, you don't think so?
I'm sorry. I don't believe in Trevor Lawrence the way a lot of people do. And so because I don't, and because that's what would be the enticing piece to the job, I don't think the Jaguars job is a good job.
Okay. That's so fair.
I
just thought about it more because that's where he started his playing career. They drafted him.
That's cute or whatever. But
it is cute. That's about all it is, though. But right. Yeah, sometimes that's enough.
It doesn't mean he's going to be successful.
Right.
And it's not to say anything against about his coaching ability. It's just I don't think Jacksonville has what they need for any coach to go there and be successful anytime soon. And because of what we know about how black men are treated in coaching positions in the NFL, then if it doesn't get fixed in 2 or 3 years, which Jacksonville is a bigger than a 2 or 3 year project, I feel like, then he's going to be fired and labeled as not a great head coach.
Right.
And therefore, he may not get another opportunity. So I'm kind of glad he turned that one down. Hope he finds something better.
Okay.
I can't disagree with it. I was just hoping for, I'm all for a good story every once in a while. And that would have been perfect for Byron Leftwich. And in fairness, I feel the same way about Penny.
Exactly who I was thinking about.
Penny got offered the Orlando Magic job. The Magic absolutely suck right now. But I feel like he should have taken it. That would have been good for him. He could coach. He coached a high school, college, and it would have been a pros level. He would have coached for the team that he played for in college. He would have been coaching for the team he played for and had his best years in the pros. And I think, to me, that would have been a good – even if he failed.
And with the way things are going, he would have failed at both of them.
He's failing at one of them now, so right. It wouldn't be much – he didn't have much to lose.
Right. Why would you do that?
If Penny wasn't answering it from Binghamton, he would have been gone already. So he should have taken the damn Orlando job. I bet he wouldn't turn it down today.
You might be right.
So he should have taken it in. I know what he's thinking. He wants to win. He wants to at least get a Final Four or Elite Eight or some kind of a good appearance here before he goes on to the NBA. But shit, the NBA might not take you now, partner.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta hit that cash out button. Take what you can get for that bet. Because that parlay will fail you.
Don't I know it.
Hey, we can all speak at FanDuel now.
Right. It gets rough out here on the parlays, man.
But look, speaking of basketball, man, I don't know about y'all, but I am absolutely, like, tired of these quote-unquote superstars always trying to find somewhere else to play. Like, I wish I could change jobs the way they change teams.
And see, we're not gonna do this right now, but this is part of what drives a lot of my. To me, there is a level of confidence, alphaness, cockiness, whatever you want to call it, where if you're supposed to be that guy for the generation that Jordan was, that Kobe was, that LeBron's supposed to be, then you have to feel like that you are the resource that everybody comes, that everybody is attracted to and wants to come play with.
Right.
And LeBron has been very mercenary-like in his willingness to just go play for whatever team he can best put together.
Right.
And so it has permeated through the league in a way that now you see, you know, the James Hardens and the Kevin Durants. Yeah. And, you know, all these guys are just, you know, well, all right, I'll sign a 2 or 3 year deal. And then if after a year or year and a half, it's not working the way I want, then I'm just going to try to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you I'm not going to play. Ben Simmons is who we got, you know, the thing we got now. You know, I'm just not going to play. And then y'all can not pay me or whatever. I've already made $40 million. And,
right.
You know, and so, and overall, I'm not mad at the guys from the standpoint. I'm happy that guys are at a point where
they have leverage.
They have money and they know what to do with their money in order to put themselves in position to not have to play if they're not in a situation they want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, damn, you done came up with this love for the game and you feel like you're the best this and best that. And sometimes it just feels like you guys are really just running from the competition as opposed to being, quote unquote, putting yourself in the best position.
Yeah.
And so that's frustrating for somebody who is a quote unquote old school basketball fan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In that sense. Yeah.
And to me, it's not even about being it's not even necessarily about being an old school basketball fan, but it's just this mentality around the league now that says, okay, I want to go play with this guy. I want to go play with that guy. And then you finally get there. James Harden had to get traded from out of Houston to Brooklyn, and he's over there. And I understand it hasn't been an ideal situation. Kyrie, his drama with the team, I'll say. I don't necessarily fault Kyrie for it, but I can understand where somebody – if you show up for work every day and your coworker's not there and you have to pull more weight because your coworker's not there, mm-hmm. well, at some point it's going to be, well, fuck that coworker. You know, whether you try to avoid it or not, at some point that's what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know Kevin Durant's going to be back soon. Mm-hmm. But now we get all of this negativity coming from James Harden's side. And it's just, at some point it gets old.
Yeah.
It gets very old.
Yeah.
You could have stayed in Houston for that.
Yeah, man. That's what I'm saying. Like, okay, yeah, Nick doesn't know this, but T, you kind of know. I've never been that fond of James Harden anyway.
Me
like,
either.
But, you know, and it's not so much of it. Not it's not his game. The boy can ball.
We it
know
is his game for me.
Yeah.
It's yeah. Depending on neither here nor there, but it's his game when it matters the most for me.
Right.
And I never
that did too.
I, like, come on, dude. You carried the team on your back for 6 months. They need you now in May and June.
And he won't be there.
Now you're tired.
He won't be there.
Now you want them to pick up the slack, but they need you the most now.
That's when it matters.
I've seen Kobe do this before, and he still kept it going until, well, except that 1 year when I know he was like, hey. Yeah, see, he knows I'm not lying. So that's why. He quit on them with his Phoenix, didn't he? Did he not? He quit on their ass. He said, okay, I'll take too many shots, huh?
He's quit on a court a couple times.
Very passive then. Yeah.
He's done it a couple times.
Yeah. Okay, but anyway, that's not a here nor there, man. Rip to the mama, black mama. But look, it's just like Harden, dude, you ain't never satisfied, bro.
Never.
You ain't never satisfied.
Never.
I mean, damn, I thought you wanted to be in Brooklyn. You got out of the Houston situation, and you know everybody was saying, oh, man, Morrow or whatever his name is, Morrow is being petty if he doesn't let you know Harden out. They let him out. And now you want out of Brooklyn, too, all because of this Kyrie crap, you know, the vaccine stuff and playing part-time. You didn't say anything until he came back. So I guess it's not about Irvin playing part-time. It's not about, well, if we're not going to be able to play together, all three of us, we're not going to win the whole thing. It's about you thought that you were just fine without his ass being there. Because this is when I'm hearing the talk. This is when I'm starting to hear the frustration when Kyrie has made his return.
Right.
I don't think he wants to share the limelight with him, or I think he thinks he messes up the offense. And I'm not saying it. That's not, you know, the truth now, because I will say, Harden was really, really looking very point guardish earlier this season.
Right.
And I was a bit surprised myself. Like, I know he can play that role, mm-hmm. but he's still a guard who will shoot. He was actually being the facilitator and taking less shots.
Well, yeah.
And they were balling.
James Harden might actually be the greatest combo guard of all time.
I can't argue with that.
I can't really think of many other guys who were that capable, equally capable of leading your team or the league
yeah.
in scoring or assists on any in any given year,
right?
Or both. So you know that like he might legitimately have a claim to that, but before it's all said and done,
yeah.
By the same token, like I said, I've never really been a huge fan of his game, particularly ever since he got to Houston, because that's when a lot of the it's like his game is based on the manipulation of the rules.
Right.
And the manipulation of the foul calls that he can get, mm-hmm. as opposed to just focusing on being that gifted of a scorer, and then the fouls come as they come.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a lot of my issue with him. I mean, I think he led the league in free throws for 3 or 4 straight years in Houston.
Yeah.
And so that contributed to him averaging 30, 33, 35 points a night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like I said, it wasn't as if he was just getting to the rim and getting fouled.
Right.
He was pump faking people up and jumping into them and not – to me, making a legit effort to score the ball and instead the effort be focused on drawing the foul so that he can then go get the points in an easy way from the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I mean, I've just never really been a fan of that. And I think that's what tends to hurt him when it comes to playoff time, is that he's leaning on that to still be the case. And we all know playoff foul calls are a little bit different than regular season foul calls.
Right.
So,
outside of that, man, Harden shrunk in big moments. Foul calls are not.
True.
The year, I want to say it was either Chris Paul's last year or the year before that, where they made like, I want to say like 3 threes out of like 33 or something. It was something like that where, mm-hmm. I mean, they just could not find the rim. That's on Harden.
Yeah. They missed like 25 straight. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. That's what it was. Yeah. Wow. That's on Harden. Mm-hmm. There were plenty of situations where he should have beaten that. His team should have beaten the Warriors.
Yeah.
They didn't because he didn't show up when it mattered.
That is true now.
It just comes down to that.
That is true. I mean, the year when they had Ariza was still on the wing defending Durant, I thought wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, he over exceeded what I expected.
Yeah, Ariza's a good on ball defender, though.
He was still good at that time on the wing.
Yeah.
You had PJ Tucker as well, Chris Paul, the dog in him, and leading that offense. But, you know, you needed Harden to come through and do what he does. That's all we're missing.
And he didn't. And that was a hindrance.
He did not.
That was a hindrance to me. Yeah.
And I'm going to go another big one on to say this, though. I think Golden State was not playing Golden State ball. Most of the time, it looked like, damn, Houston can really beat these guys. When they went back to just playing old school basketball, hey, come sit this pick. Hey, come get this
screen. Absolutely.
It started to click again, just like it was nothing. It was like, hey, you know what? Maybe this shouldn't have went seven
but,
games.
But those series with Houston, to me, were reminiscent of a lot of the Bulls series. And toughest task came in the same conference. Mm-hmm. By the time they got to the finals, it's like, well, I already beat the best damn team I'm going to play. Come on, I got you in five. I got you in six.
There you go.
You know,
yeah.
And with the exception of the case of 2016, different discussion. But I'm tired of it. And even with Ben Simmons, I'm definitely tired of it.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons is legitimately upset because they criticized his play in the playoffs, which they should have. He played terrible. Get over it.
Learn to shoot.
You're a basketball player.
Really it? This is really the reason.
That's the reason.
Wow. And he played bad, though.
And he played terrible.
Yeah, like always.
And right.
It comes down to the shooting percentage. So
he hadn't played the whole year.
Yeah.
He set out the whole year.
Gave him $19 million so far.
And he's given up $19 million in fines.
He's actually still got a chance to still go somewhere where this will work out for him.
And the proposed trade is James Harden for Ben Simmons. And I just say, make the trade. I'm sick of it. I don't think Ben Simmons is going to help anybody because he can't shoot. He's a liability on offense, but he's great on defense, and he can make plays.
Well, no, he'll still help Brooklyn on offense.
Yeah. I mean, you got to think now. It's a little bit different when your running mates are Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, even though he can't shoot, you got to go deal with those guys who can.
That's right. But, man, I'm just –
driving that ball to the lane and kicking it out. To
right.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm just every year it's always this person has to get traded. And I understand. Listen, my work situation ain't perfect. Yeah, if I could find a better one, I probably would.
Yeah, right.
However, with that being said, damn, man, y'all make a lot of money.
They don't ever want to just suck it up and just deal with it. And they are making a lot of money. I feel you, though, man.
And to me, those problems are very minute. Ben Simmons does not have an issue. His issue is that he played well and people called him out on it.
Mm-hmm.
The coach called him out on it. Embiid called him out on it. Now it's a problem. They should have called you out on it.
Yeah.
So, nah, man.
Will this trade happen, guys?
I doubt it, but I hope it does.
I don't think so.
It doesn't even happen.
I think it was a whole lot to do about nothing.
Yeah, neither one of those teams, both of those teams might meet in the playoffs. They're not going to trade one of the best players to the other team.
In the same conference.
They're in the same conference. They're both in the East, so they're not going to do that.
And so what happens in the end if that trade doesn't happen? Is anybody going to be moved? I mean,
I think Harden sucks it up until the offseason.
Okay.
Ben Simmons, they may have to move Ben Simmons.
Will this Brooklyn thing work with Kyrie then still playing part-time?
Maybe Daryl Morey gets everything he wants. He gets James Harden in free agency and then still trades Ben Simmons for something else.
Hmm. There you go.
Because that's, I think, what he wants to do at this point. He's like, look, I'll trade Ben Simmons, y'all trade me James Harden. But if not, then I'm just holding him. And then James Harden, we're trying to get him to come here in free agency. And then we'll trade Ben Simmons for something else.
Yeah, Morey is holding on to that car. He's holding on to that Joker, and I hope he doesn't hold on to it until the books are gone.
I mean, to be honest, now that I think about it that way, I can't blame him. That's actually probably the best way to go about it. If you have a reasonable belief that you'll be able to land James Harden,
mm-hmm.
Now your only problem is that you've wasted what may be an MVP season for Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Right.
Because he won't be able to also follow it up with a championship
season. Unless they can make that trade happen now.
Right. But if you hold it until the offseason, you get James Harden, who's, what, 32? You know, so, I mean, it's not like he's past his prime, really, at this point.
Right.
You got Joel Embiid, who's still in his 20s, and then you get then you can trade Ben Simmons for something else.
Yeah.
And get whatever piece you may need to fill in there, a bigger wing that can play some defense, because, you know, James Harden's not really going to do that.
No.
You know, whatever, you know, 3-and-D type guy.
Yeah.
Whoever that may be.
Tobias Harris is still there, right?
Tobias Harris is still there, yeah.
And I like that other young guy that comes out the bench.
Or another shooter.
Since Ben Simmons is out, he's actually been starting, I guess. Now I can't think of the guy's name. He's not bad.
Yeah, maybe you get a shooter out of the situation. I mean, I don't know, but you know, when you think about it from a long term standpoint, that's not actually a bad idea for Daryl Morey to hold on to it. If you believe
he is holding it though,
if
he
you
is
holding, you have a strong chance of getting James
Morey. Said he knows when to hold him. He knows when to
I
fold
agree
him.
With that, Nick, because right. Even if they don't get a championship out of that, what does it does though for the organization, for the Sixers?
Now a lot can happen between now and June, also. Yeah. Or July, yeah. Whenever free agency.
Bottom line is, he's got 1 week to make a decision.
Right.
Yeah.
After, what, Thursday?
Yeah.
The door's closed. So, if I could find a good spot for him, I'd move him, honestly. Mm-hmm. I really would. Even if it's a three-team trade and you still get something else. But, to me, he's got to go. Because mm-hmm. I think, Nick, you made the best point. Embiid is having his best year. You don't want to waste that. This team needs to try to win and win right now. And, listen, as competitive as the East is, it's still open because Milwaukee, to me, has not played their best ball. I don't have any faith in Chicago, and we know that Brooklyn has a lot of issues over there. Mm-hmm. So why would I waste this year, which could be Embiid's best year, and this could be the year the window is open the brightest, open the biggest.
Right.
It's a shame that Simmons decided he just didn't want to play, but maybe him not playing has brought out the best in Embiid, and they can make the team even better just by going and making a move. I think Sacramento had an offer on the table for him, but Morey didn't take it.
Yeah.
What if Ben Simmons tries to come back in like the Eastern Conference Finals?
Screw Ben Simmons. he'll come back all right.
Yeah. As long as you all don't tell me that I played bad again, man, he better cut it out.
And Shaq called him out, and apparently he DM'd Shaq.
Stop talking about me.
Right.
And he deserves to get traded to the Wizards or something.
I'd like trade his ass imagine, to, right.
You know?
Right.
One more thing before we wrap this up. We didn't talk about the Washington Commanders.
Right. What do y'all feel? How do y'all feel about that?
Who the hell was in the room making that?
I don't even know
that
what
team
the,
name.
I don't even know what to think about.
Who
it.
They hired? For, they could have hired me to come up with that shit. I could have done better than that.
Yeah. They damn near should have left it the football team.
Yeah.
You damn near right.
I second
right.
that.
You're about right. Well, at home, I still calling the, you know what, and it is what it is in my mind. That's what I'm always gonna because I know now that that's not a bad thing.
I just call them
like the Redskins. That what we saw that face on that helmet. That is really the indigenous people, and that's what we're supposed to have been seeing. But when they keep taking all this stuff away, it'll never be any type of reparation because you're erasing that history now.
Yeah, I just
all these statues and stuff that they're taking down, they're hurting any chances of anything coming back. But that's
yeah,
not a
I thing. They had, what, 2-3 years to come up with this?
Yeah.
And this is what they came up with.
The Commanders. Didn't you call that something like Commanders or something? I mean, it's Washington.
Some kind of, it's got to be white nationalists.
Yeah,
like, it's got to be.
Something like that. Yeah, yeah.
So
strong.
To this point, they haven't changed the colors or anything.
No colors changed, no.
They don't have to change nothing now.
They're not changing the colors.
Oh,
no.
That's good. Yeah. That's good, I guess. But what would the mascot look like or the logo?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like if they're going to go with a name like Commanders, that they would have changed the colors to something
red,
more.
White, and blue or something.
Right, something more patriotic.
I thought they were kind of going that way. They don't want to be too different, I guess.
Yeah, somebody said, I saw this on Twitter, somebody was like, they literally changed the name from the Redskins to the people that killed them.
Yeah.
That is true.
They playing in our face, as usual.
But now, we asked a question, and we got to stop assuming that people aren't smart.
Mm-hmm.
We asked the question of who was in the room. Some people that damn well knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
That's who was in the room. Some people that damn well knew what they were doing. They know whose dollar they want,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to who dollar they typically get.
Yep.
But they know whose dollar they want.
Pretty much.
And in their mind, I ain't buying the damn merchandise, right. But they know whose dollar they want.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, man. Good job they picked the name. Kudos.
Yeah, finally they got it out the way. But and what's crazy, they have a black VP. Is he the VP or I think he's the VP of operations or football operations or something, and maybe general manager.
Somehow
or,
I feel like he probably wasn't too involved in that decision.
I don't think he was involved in that at all.
Yeah, I'm sure he wasn't.
I'm sure he got the alert the same time we
it
did.
Was somebody else I wanted dun, dun, dun. To get on, but I know we've been doing it for a while now. Oh, the Reese guy. Whatever his name was, general manager for the New York football Giants.
For the Giants.
Those years he was a black GM and he didn't hire a black coach.
Right.
He continued to go with Tom Coughlin.
Hey, listen.
Throughout the hot seat years.
Yeah,
and all that,
even throughout any part of history, there's going to always be times where we didn't look out for ourselves.
Yeah.
Or we did some things that's even worse.
Yeah.
But it's just very, I think it's very important to point those people out.
Yeah.
And listen, love Mike Tomlin to death, but he ain't hired one black defensive coordinator, one black offensive coordinator.
Are you serious? He hasn't?
Are we sure about that?
Has he?
If he hasn't, wow.
Somebody look that up real fast, or if we can jog some quick memory, and I'll gladly apologize to Tomlin.
But if he hasn't, wow. We're about to wrap this one up, but ladies and gentlemen, we still got Ronda Rousey, who returned and won the Women's Royal Rumble in the WWE. Rousey versus Charlotte Flair. Brock Lesnar won the Rumble as well. Goldberg returns yet again. I'll talk about how sick I am of that. Shane's out of the WWE. He could be going to AEW, but is Tony Khan that petty? We'll talk about it. And terrible booking for both of the women's in AEW. I've got a bone to pick with them about that for both. And Moxley and Danielson, thought we were going to see this rivalry, and they could be tag team partners.
Yeah.
What the hell are y'all doing? And we're going to also talk about why people hate Brandy so damn much. You know, so we got plenty.
Absolutely.
And we're going to try to run through it, though, as quick as we can. But this is what we got coming up for the wrestling edition of the Great Debate Show. We're going to see if Nick is going to find this information out for us. If not, Terrence may be on to something here about Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, I've seen that posted several times about him not. And this is not, and I just want to say, that's not an indictment on Tomlin. I don't even know if he, I don't know what role he necessarily plays in the hiring. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know that.
Yeah.
I don't know if he has this amount of picks and he has to choose one. I don't know. I'm just saying, if he does have a lot of control about the hiring, which he should, he's the head coach, and he hasn't done that, that's a little bit of an issue. A little bit of an issue.
That is an issue, man. It ain't no little bit to it. He's been there since 2000.
Because wasn't Jerry Porter on the staff?
Six.
Wasn't Jerry Porter on the staff?
Well, the favorite to replace his current defensive coordinator is Terrell Austin. He's black.
Okay.
So, I remember him. He was in Detroit as well.
Wait, where is this story from? Yeah. Okay. So that's correct. Yeah. That's Terrell Austin is the favorite to replace him now.
Okay.
Oh, he wasn't there before.
I forgot who was just the D coordinator, but I mean,
this article is more about the age of the coordinators that Tomlin's hired, because he's hired a lot of older guys, which may also be part of the reason why he's had the success that he's had, as opposed to hiring younger.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, younger guys that he's kind of helping to develop. So I guess there's a point to be made there.
Yeah. And I know that Brian Flores is not looking to be a coordinator, but damn, wouldn't that be a great role for him?
Terrell Austin is a good candidate. I mean, he was pretty good in Detroit some years back. The Lions made a playoff appearance, even though they got screwed against the Cowboys, I think 2014. But he was up for a few head coaching candidates, but they never gave him the job.
Mm-hmm.
But I know Brian Flores doesn't want to go back to D.C. I don't think he has to worry about that. I don't think he'll get another job.
No.
You know, interview or anything after this. But, glad that he knows, though, that this is what he's facing. This is what he's dealing with.
Yeah.
But I agree with him. If he thinks it's this serious, hey, man, kudos to you. I tip my hat out to you. Go for what you know, bro. But I hope it works out in the end. And, we just have to understand sometimes, are we really, really ready, you know, to deal with the consequences? I think he is, though.
I think so.
I commend him for that. Yeah. I do.
I'm going to look into that Tomlin thing. We'll talk about it next time.
That is something that
I'm sure.
Okay. All right, so we're going to wrap that up then. Look, we will talk about Super Bowl 56 because we haven't really talked much about that. The Rams and the Bengals in the Super Bowl, we did discuss it somewhat. Hey, I'm already saying what I think. Unless something happens, something changes, I'm not changing my tune. I can say it right now. I think Joe Burrow's going to win the Super Bowl. I've been saying this all season long. I just didn't know that he would be in the Super Bowl this year.
Right.
I didn't think it would be this one. But I have been saying he's going to have that Joe Montana.
Yeah, you always have said that.
And I've been saying that since he's been drafted. And it's just too many LSU and 13 and Tiger connections in this crap. It is. If you think LSU and the Tigers and Burrow and the Rams don't add up.
Wrong side of the line, Terrence.
It does. The only thing I can say where I think Nick could be right at with the Rams winning is that, hey, I was right about the Georgia Bulldogs winning the championship. Everybody knows Stafford. He went to Georgia.
Lost some money on that, too.
Yeah, you didn't listen on that one. Hey, I'm not right all the time. I'm not wrong all the time. That's the only thing I can tell you guys. I'm not telling you to just go with this. It's a guarantee. Now I'm right. But, hey, that's the one thing where Stafford could win this Super Bowl because of Georgia winning this the national championship as well. They do that a lot. But, again, man, I just think Joe Burrow, it's not meant for him to lose any Super Bowls. He may not go to four, but I can see him going to two, three. And I don't think he's going to lose any of them.
Yeah.
The things that some people may think Justin Herbert is gonna do, Burrow is getting right to it already. This is his first full season in the league.
Right.
And I don't think people are realizing how amazing this is.
He's really only played like a season and a half.
That's right. Yeah. He tore his ACL last year as a rookie.
I think it was literally middle of the season. It was like week nine, something like that.
That's the middle of the season, right dead in it. So this brother only has like a season and a half put together, and he's in the damn Super Bowl.
That's crazy.
And it's going to be even crazier if he's a Super Bowl champion.
And the only thing I can think about it in comparison, I think Big Ben made the Super Bowl his second year. But Big Ben was
the team that had.
He had a hell of a rookie year.
Right.
Hell of a 15-1 rookie year.
He did. Yeah.
Boy. But there's so many stories on the Patriots cheating on that game. But that's neither here nor there.
Right.
I think maybe all those are just stories.
Yeah.
You know what I know now. But, yeah, he had a great early career, period. Big Ben, oh, my God. He did. But, man, Burrow, like, could be a champion. I think it was at least Big Ben's third season when they won Super Bowl 40.
Was it his second or third?
It was the 05 season.
I think it was his second season.
Oh, that was his second season.
Because he was drafted in the 04 class.
You're right. It was his second season then. So, damn. But he can't top it. He can only just, you know, accomplish the same thing. But it still means so much more to me because he didn't even get a full rookie year.
Yeah.
So, and then, this isn't a Hines Ward or a Jerome Bettis or a Bill Cowher at head coach. You don't think steel curtain defense when you think the... This is the Cincinnati Bengals.
It's the Bengals.
Used to be the Bungles. And all of a sudden, they're the Bengals again. Like, y'all got to understand how phenomenal this is. You know, what a story this could be if he does win. It's very astonishing. It is. But we're out of here because I ain't got anything else. What else do y'all got?
Shout out to John Morant, man.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Shout out to John
Morant. John Morant for MVP.
We're going to start a new thing called Straight Balling. And I don't even have my music ready for it. I can play it for a good 30 seconds. I didn't get that together. Next week, we're going to do it for real. Would you say he should be on this week's edition, though?
Absolutely.
If we had did it the correct
Absolutely
way.
Absolutely. Got to give Ja his props, man. Especially, you know, hometown team, all that type of stuff.
That's right.
Ja been balling, man. I mean, like I said, the only person I really would put ahead of him for MVP at this point is Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
But Ja been showing out. He's got, you know, got Memphis a lot further ahead than what a lot of people expected. You know, people expected us to be in the play-in conversation, and they number three in the West. So, shouts out to them, man.
And they've beaten the teams that are allegedly better than them too.
Yeah,
routinely.
Yeah, that's very important to put out.
That is
so. I think that we have to keep in mind that a lot of times in basketball, we have to ask ourselves: can this team that might be overachieving, can they win a 7-game series?
Yeah.
I think the Grizzlies can beat anybody in a 7-game series. Hmm. They just have a level of toughness. They have everything. They have shooting.
Yeah.
Got defense. We've got Flash with Ja, playmaking with Ja, and so they are a formidable opponent to anybody.
If they can find a way into the number two seed, I think they can get to the Western Conference Finals. Because I think the problem is going to be if they have to beat either Golden State or Phoenix before they get there. Yeah. Once they get there, then you know, all bets are off. But if they've got to beat either Golden State or Phoenix before then, I think they have a problem in hand.
Which one do they want to face, should they want to face, if they had to? To get to those conferences.
It's crazy as it's going to sound. I may say Golden State.
I
think they've had better success against – now, that's been better success against
Golden
State. But
that was also the clayless Golden State.
Right, without Klay Thompson. And then if they get James Wiseman back as well, and then, of course, Draymond Green's been out with a back injury. So once they get back to full strength, then I may would have to reevaluate that answer.
Yeah.
But just based on what they've done, I think the correct answer right now would be Golden State.
And I feel that, Draymond. I hurt my back last week, man, and it's just –
man.
Yeah. I would have loved a week off work myself.
Yeah, I know, right?
That back is bad.
It is. It's no joke. It is no joke.
I got that Tracy McGrady back right now.
Man. Tracy McGrady. That's another debate that I thought that we should have had, but nobody really agrees with me on that. If I hadn't put that on social media, I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to break the internet when I do it because everybody's going to say I'm crazy. But I've always thought that just by a little bit, you know, just by a smidge, Tracy McGrady, before these injuries started to take a toll on his career.
Don't say it.
I'm going to say it. Say it.
Tracy McGrady was better than Kobe Bryant, damn it, when he was number eight. When he was wearing the number eight.
You are out of your mind.
Only when he was wearing number eight.
You are out.
Sorry. 24, he was on another different level. Like, it was the whole full arsenal.
Number eight was 81-point Kobe.
That's just
65
one game.
And three quarters.
That's just one game. I can give you the gematria to that shit.
That's fine. It happened.
It did happen, no doubt. And look, again, ladies and gentlemen, I never take away the talent from these guys. They are very talented. Kobe is the man. I'm just saying that at one point.
That wasn't
the time. At one point, they were when
Kobe
one
was
eight.
Wearing number eight, and Kobe has came on the record to say it himself when he was still living. Rip Kobe. He said the only. If I'm not mistaken, he said the only. He might have said the most. But I think he said the only player he had problems with was Tracy McGrady.
Nah, he's...
Because he was too difficult. He was about an inch and a half taller than him, and he could do everything that he could do as well. There was nothing that he could do that he could not do. And him having to defend that as well.
It was about three or four players that he really gave props to. Tracy McGrady was one of them.
Melo.
Another one was Carmelo because of his size. He said, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, he's 240 pounds. Like, he's a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
That's Brandon Roy.
Okay.
And then he said he retired without having figured out Kevin Durant.
Oh, okay. Well, we figured him out. And Brandon Roy was very good before that.
He was good.
He was good. But, man, McGrady.
But there was a one point where the Lakers
was leading the league in scoring.
But I don't think Kobe ever actually gave anybody the edge over himself. I think
he's not supposed to do that.
Of course. Yeah, of course not. I never say anybody's really better than me at anything.
Right.
It's because it's me and I'm confident in what I do.
Yeah. Right.
But it doesn't mean like the numbers say Joe Rogan kicking our asses, right?
Joe Rogan.
No pun intended, ladies and gentlemen. No pun intended.
Fuck Joe Rogan.
But I'm just saying, though, like, he's the golden podcaster, though.
You can get this podcast
and I'm
smoked.
Not. We're not.
We climb up the chimney.
You know, it is what it is. At one point, though, man, I don't think Kobe was better than McGrady.
There was at one point, seriously, where the Lakers were considering trading McGrady for Kobe straight up.
Lead the league.
I thought they were trying to trade for McGrady to pair him with Kobe.
No, they were going to trade Kobe for McGrady straight up because they were going to keep Shaq.
Oh, it could have been done.
They were going to keep Shaq and trade McGrady and Kobe straight up, but they eventually decided to.
I mean, if we talked about the number of times, the number of trades that didn't happen for Kobe that should have happened, Kobe would be, without question, the GOAT because he would have like 10 rings, if we're just being honest. If they had traded for and paired him with Tracy McGrady, he'd won like two or three more rings after Shaq left. If
they would have gave a damn. McGrady would have won something too.
If they had traded for Garnett as opposed to Pau Gasol, then he would have won not only the one the Celtics won, but also the two.
That was Kobe's fault.
Don't forget the Chris Paul.
That was Kobe's fault.
That they got Pau instead of KG?
Because KG called Kobe, and Kobe won't answer. He called him again. Kevin Garnett tells a story about it.
Okay.
Kobe essentially viewed him as opposition and didn't want to play with him.
Interesting. Well,
that's Kobe for you, though.
That's his own fault. Yeah. He should have definitely taken. And then, obviously,
I love it, though. That's the competitive
nature. I like it, too.
And then, obviously,
I want to beat you.
Obviously, the most famous one is the Chris Paul deal. If that comes through, I mean, Jesus.
Oh, so let's talk about that real fast. I know we're trying to get out here, but a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Were you mad? So let me tell you where I was. Hold on. Let me tell you where I was.
Nick is a Laker fan, ladies and gentlemen.
Me and my guy, Anthony Thompson, we have been talking about this all week long, about this Chris Paul deal. And we, at this time, we were broke, man. We were just trying to eat wherever we could. You know that college life.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was in college when it happened.
And we were in the student union. I think we had both just gotten Subway. We had gotten something out of the student union. And we were sitting down eating. And I've got the view of the TV. He doesn't have the view of the TV. Now, my guy Ant, he's a huge Lakers fan, right? Everything Lakers. He's been a Lakers fan his whole life. I see the ticker at the bottom of ESPN. Breaking news, Chris Paul trade has been voided by the league, by David Stern, on behalf of the owners.
I think I saw
recently. I don't know if they wrote it exactly like that, but it was something along those lines. Yeah. And I am the ultimate Laker hater. I am in tears from laughing. I mean, I laughed for a good 5 minutes, and he doesn't know what's going on. So I finally tell him, hey, man, they voided the trade, you know. And we had this long discussion. I'm doing all this to say I don't blame the owners. Because you had to keep in mind at the time, the owners owned the New Orleans franchise.
I don't give a
fuck. So, no, I'm not going to trade.
I was talking so much shit for them 30
That's what
minutes.
Y'all get. That's
for
what
them
y'all
30
get.
Minutes that Chris Paul was a Laker.
He was already letting everybody have it.
But I was playing a championship parade.
And that was
I was planning it.
That and was that was the very reason why I guess we needed that. To
we needed it. We needed it.
Because we wouldn't have heard the end of that crap. You did. In 30 minutes, you admit that you were already a...
My,
they already got the little Photoshop going.
If you want to hear what my conspiracy theory was,
okay.
The league realized that
Nick has a theory.
This is my conspiracy theory on this one. The league realized if they allow that trade to go through, the LeBron James era does not begin at the time that they're ready for it to begin. and therefore he does not he doesn't win those titles in Miami.
I think he hates LeBron as much as I hate the Lakers. I love this.
He does not. If Chris Paul, because here's the thing: the team was the three headed monster. The big three was going to be Chris Paul, Kobe Bryant, and Dwight Howard. It was the Clippers. It was the Lob City Clippers plus Kobe Bryant. He was going to add I think the guy at the time that they were looking at was Derek Williams.
Yeah.
He played for the Timberwolves at the time. He was pretty athletic, power forward.
Yeah.
I think they still had Lamar Odom. Powell was gone in the deal. And I think they still had Ron Artest.
Right.
It was over. It was over. I'm sorry. Miami Big Three was not going to beat that.
Right.
It just wasn't.
But here's the thing, though. I mean, they only got two championships in Miami out of that. Look, this is where I would say – I would agree with you, but only this. What about Golden State's run? Like that hurt LeBron. He could have gotten another two rings.
I mean, now you're looking at a butterfly effect, right?
There and bam.
Like if the Chris Paul trade happens to the Lakers and the Lakers win the titles, then does Golden State ever become what they are? Is there another team that's in the lottery that gets in their position that's smarter than Minnesota and takes Steph Curry instead of Johnny Flynn?
Or Memphis.
Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio, for that matter. They took them both in the same draft.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, Memphis took...
the Beak.
There you go, yeah. So, and I think James Harden was also in that draft.
He was.
So, yeah, it was a lot of teams made some bad mistakes in that draft. So, imagine what happens with that butterfly effect if the Lakers are still running things and Kobe ends up with 8-9 rings. You know, does he retire any earlier? Is he able to play longer because of that?
That was a good question.
Well, Kobe wanted to be Jordan so bad, he would have won six, danced on the scoreboard, and retired.
Yeah.
Oh, no. If he got six and he
would have retired right then.
If he got six and he knows he still got it, he's going for seven.
I think we underestimate Kobe's obsession with Jordan a lot.
No, not at all. And that's why I say he would have done it.
You can't underestimate his competitive nature.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to be better than Jordan. So if he wins his six and he still feels like he's Kobe Bryant, Black Mamba, whatever, as opposed to, I'm getting kind of old, it's about time for me to go and hang it up. He's coming back for
seven. He didn't feel like that when he was actually old, so.
Right, so he's coming back for seven.
But no, I still, to this day, I don't blame the league for doing that, because they also had to sell the franchise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
I talk real bad.
No, I don't blame him either, one bit.
No, I don't blame him. In all seriousness, I don't. This is not me being a Laker hater. This is just me. If I got to sell this phone, man, I'm not going to take this case off and try to sell it. No, I won't give you all the shit.
Right.
You can take all of it. Yeah. The keys, I'm not going to take my ATC thing. I'm not going to take all that shit.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take the best player of the franchise and then try to sell it. Sell it to who? For what, $10?
Sell it for the low.
And it probably would have got
buy low, sell high.
It probably would have got really ridiculous with the superstar teams then, the super teams. I mean,
Miami
getting that thing started,
right?
And then if Chris Paul does that the very next year,
yeah. And then the thing was also, they also when they that trade was going to allow them flexibility to go and trade for Dwight Howard, and the league was like, nah, we're not just going to hand you a championship.
Yeah, that's what it. That's basically what it is.
They're not going to hand you a championship.
And so that this begs to differ the question here. Look. You just said that. What you just said, why did teams always still give Bill Belichick players every damn offseason or before trade deadline?
Because they got duped. They got duped a lot of times. They thought Randy Moss.
This is the team that you want to get these? Really? They want to give this to New England?
They thought Randy Moss was done? Dumbasses.
Every time. They done that.
They thought Corey Dillon was done. He had a little bit left in the tank. But
I would say
he had
so.
Enough left in the
tank. He had enough left in the tank. Yeah.
Yes.
Dumbasses.
Yeah.
So they did that a lot. They thought they undervalued players. And he still saw the value in them.
And even though Ocho didn't work, they kicked the tires on it. Revis worked though as well.
Revis did work, absolutely.
Revis worked.
They've done this so many times, and we just
damn, I forgot about
teams
that one.
Are just letting this happen. Like, that's got to tell you all something to that. It's got to.
And I feel like that might be his biggest attribute.
I bet you that won't happen now that Brady's gone.
No.
I bet you that won't happen for Belichick.
Well, they've learned. Teams have learned a lesson.
It was about him.
Teams have learned a lesson.
They got Mac Jones.
And he was born on the right day. Yeah, hey, okay, well, Mac Jones doesn't equal up to what Tom Brady does in Gematria. I'm sorry.
I mean, they went to playoffs the first year, so you know.
Yeah, they did. They did. I mean, Bill Belichick is still going to be a competitive head coach while he's there.
Which makes me wonder
but
again.
But I can't say that, you know.
Who's going to win this Rookie of the Year?
He may get seven, but he may not get eight.
Because that'll be on the award show next year, too. Who's going to win Rookie of the Year? Jamar Chase or Mac Jones?
The Rookie of the Year should be Jamar Chase. I don't see any question.
Well, the damn sure shouldn't be Mac Jones. What did he do?
He came into the playoffs.
I mean, but what did he do? Like, seriously, did they run the ball and he dink and dunked?
I think
is that what you saw?
3,500 some odd yards.
Okay.
Whatever. I mean, he didn't break any rookie records per se, but
he's losing Josh McDaniels. He's lost Josh McDaniels. We didn't even discuss that.
Yeah.
I don't know how y'all feel about him with the Raiders.
I hope he does, man, but I'm not.
Took a damn job. I didn't even see that coming.
It's another coaching job filled by a white man.
Yeah. Yeah, once again, a lot of OCs, a lot of young coaches. None of them, of course, are black, though. Byron left Wichita, bowl still.
Like, how bad is Eric Bieniemy really
still
doing?
Still no food
interviews?
At the table.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Like, how bad is he going
right.
in these interviews?
Right. Not he can't be doing that.
Would you say Bieniemy?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, that's supposedly the story on him is that he doesn't interview
and
well.
And the time is, really? I didn't know that.
That's supposedly.
It's got to be an excuse.
Is that he supposedly doesn't interview well. And that they believe that Andy Reid really caused the plays in Kansas City. And so, therefore, he doesn't get the credit
wow.
for
You know, insulting success. A black man's intelligence.
And
is
how
like
about
a,
Reid just confirm those things? Like, hey, this guy does this, that. How about a vote of confidence and now he can get this job?
Of course Andy Reid's going to say that because he's building his coaching tree. He's a good person. But that don't mean we believe you.
I haven't heard those things either.
And furthermore, if we can use it to say that we don't believe you,
right.
and so, therefore, that's a reason not to hire this man, then
yeah.
we'll use that.
Yeah. Well. We'll see how that goes, but ladies and gentlemen, Josh McDaniels is the coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, and we went through everything pretty much, I can believe. We talked about Harbaugh going back to Michigan. How does that work for Michigan? How does the locker room, the whole program, how do they look at this? Like, we're happy to have him back, even though he had pretty much said, screw us. He just didn't get the contract he was offered. Now he's back.
I mean, they know it's short term. This has got
to
be his last year there.
Probably so.
Yeah, it's got to be his last year there.
Any job that comes up, we're going to be hearing about Harbaugh's name.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
But does he deserve to be back in the NFL? That's the big question.
I think so.
Okay, so it took him 7 years to beat Ohio State, but as soon as he did, that's when he got a few interviews, or at least we know about the Vikings. Still a lot of jobs out there that's available, but we'll see how that goes.
Just to leave out, I'll say this. He's a damn fool for going back because Ohio State might beat that ass next year. I would have got my win and left.
He went back and said it won't be a recurring issue for as long as Michigan wants him there. I'm surprised he didn't at least get some money out of the situation.
Right.
Man, that's what I thought the point.
He's
I thought
robbing
the,
him anyway.
I thought the point of him going to Minnesota was so that he could leverage and say, hey, you know, I got this – potentially, I go to the leagues. Yeah, I better.
No, he was really ready to go back to the league.
Yeah, I would have got my win against Ohio State and left.
Yeah, he probably should have. But and I mean, we know that he would have had the Vikings competitive again. It's just that he's not an X and O guy. His quarterback would probably be, because Cousins is about to be out of there too as well, right?
I think the 4-year deal he had is up, so
yeah,
it might be about
so,
that time.
Hey, man.
But I mean, who are they going to replace him with? So you know, is he going to be gone? Because
well,
unless you're telling me that Aaron Rodgers wants to come.
Some Vikings fans wanted Garoppolo. You know, Mike Florio was talking about Garoppolo over Kirk Cousins.
That feels like a lateral move at best.
Well, yeah, maybe. but, I mean, we don't want – the Niners don't want Cousins now, I wouldn't think. So
– Shanahan wants him though, right?
Really? Well, he did, but that was – I'm sure he's let that go now.
It feels like a lateral move.
Especially after
teams.
Giving up all the draft capital he did for Trey Lance. So I'm pretty sure that's up.
Right.
Is Trey Lance going to be Patrick Mahomes or is it going to be Teddy Bridgewater, though? That's going to be the
I don't even
thing.
Know
it's
going to be Teddy Bridgewater.
I shouldn't even say Bridgewater. I should say
Geno Smith.
Hey,
Is he Patrick Mahomes or Geno Smith? Or somewhere in between, I'll take. But if it's in between, he's probably still a Garoppolo.
He's probably closer to Geno.
We don't want bridge quarterback. We'll see. That's it. That's all we got. I'm done, ladies and gentlemen. We got so much more wrestling to talk about. We're going to decide if we're going to do that later. We're going to keep on going with that, or we're going to just, you know, probably maybe remotely do that in the morning. But I gave you the breakdown, T. That's a lot to talk about.
It is.
Cover,
it is.
And anything that you might have missed over time that you would like to talk about. I think we're going to have some real strong comments, though, with the Brandi Rose situation.
Yeah, I know it's serious when Jarvis sends me a text early in the morning.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
I know, I was up.
I just seen a video and I was like, damn, they really do hate her.
I think I had just watched it because I got up early in the morning and watched it. I had it recorded.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a problem.
I read some comments, man, and I felt like, oh my God, these people are just so, so the trolls, man, I tell you. But anyway, we talked about all the sports pretty much that was worth talking about. The Grizzlies are on fire. John Morant is on fire. Shout out to the area here in Memphis. And Cat, what's his name? Cat.
Carl Anthony Towns.
Carl Anthony Towns has been playing pretty good, too. Just wanted to say that. And shout out to the Phoenix Suns. They still, I don't think, have double digit losses yet. They're still at like 41-42-9. This is remarkable what they're doing in the second straight year. Shout out to the general manager who happens to be black. You see what happens when James you give Jones. Us a chance? James Jones. Shout out to that brother, man, for doing what he's done, even through the middle of. Then they have some kind of crap going on with
maybe that's why LeBron always kept him close. Maybe he really had James Jones doing the GM stuff for him.
Maybe.
That's why LeBron kept him close.
Maybe.
Or maybe LeBron taught him how to be a GM.
He taught him how to be one because he damn sure could make
it. He's doing a good job.
Man, y'all wild, man. All right, well, we're going to get out of here. That's it for the Great Debate Show, at least for this episode. We've got wrestling coming up as well. Hey, man, thank y'all for listening. We're available wherever you get your podcasts. Before I let you all go, I just want to say real quick, if you all are looking to, we're in a new year here. We're just in month two of the year. Everybody's trying to, you know, eat better. Get a healthy, balanced diet. Well, the best way to do that is to eat with Chef Swagger. Chef Swagger Eat Green Urban Salads. Man, you're talking about some of the best salmon in the city of Memphis. Turkey club salads to turkey club wraps. Chicken salads, grilled chicken that is. You can get salmon. You can get salmon and shrimp. These are wraps. These are chicken gyros. You can get lamb on a salad. You can get lamb with tzatziki sauce and all of that on a gyro. We're talking about some of the best, healthiest food that there is in town on a food truck. Eat Green Urban Salads with Chef Swagger. You got to check it out. It's some of the best food around. Get you a nice, good, healthy lunch. The salmon is really, really, really scrumptious. All right, if you want to book a lunch with them or an event or anything like that, why don't you give them a call at 901-417-1492. That's 901-417-1492. Or you can email him at eatgreenurban@outlook.com. That's all I got on that, though, ladies and gentlemen. We had a lot to cover, man. But this Brian Flores stuff, we're going to see how it's going to go. All
right, right, right.
We're going to see how it's going to go, and it's going to be very interesting. One more, before we go, guys, do you or do you not believe his accusations?
I believe him 100%.
I believe him.
You do believe him?
100%.
Do you think that they're actually going to settle instead of say, hey,
they'll try to.
We're guilty.
They'll try to. I mean, that's going to come up. That's going to come up to Brian Flores.
We're going to learn a lot about Brian Flores.
We'll learn a lot about him in the next couple of weeks.
Couple
of
years.
That's right.
Couple of weeks, we'll learn a lot about him.
There you go.
Because that's a lot of serious accusations. So they'll probably try to settle that. I don't think they'll try to settle him in a couple of weeks, but you know, the spotlight is on him now in ways that I don't think he ever really thought about.
I got you. Well, that's all we got, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening. Almost 2 hours, man, but it was very, very worth it. Thank you all for listening. And man, y'all be safe out there. Until the next time, we'll be back.
Peace, guys.